Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by AOL Music and Spinner.com, where you can get free MP3s, exclusive interviews, and more. This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 222 for November 23rd, 2009. $3 coffee pot. This Week in Tech is brought to you by Audible.com. If you haven't tried Audible yet, download a free audiobook without a credit card. Now through November 26th, go to audible.com/Thanksgiving. And by Carbonite, the leader in online backup. Back up your PC or Mac offsite securely and automatically. For a free trial offer plus 2 free months with purchase, go to carbonite.com, offer code TWIT. And by the new voice-activated Sync, featuring hands-free calling, music search, and turn-by-turn navigation. Available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For more information and to enter to win a free Nano or Zune, visit SyncMyRidePodcast.com. And by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to publish a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off your new account, go to squarespace.com/TWIT. This is TWIT, This Week in Tech, the show that covers the week's news in some sort of desultory way anyway. With us here, I'm so glad to have her back in studio, the wonderful Becky Worley from BeckyWorley.com and ABC News. She's their, what are you?
Technology contributor.
Yeah, but you really focus on like the slankets and stuff.
I know, I've become infomercial savings wench.
And now you're working on the Zynga story?
Well, I try to do some consumer stuff, and actually I'm all Black Friday all the time, and boy do I have exciting deal news for you dudes.
All right,
today.
This will be our Black Friday edition,
it
ladies
is.
And gentlemen. How exciting!
I know, actual information.
Also here, speaking of Black Friday,
hey,
he's in a black mood, he's wearing his black watch sweater, it is John C. Dvorak in plaid.
ChannelDvorak.com.
There you go. Nice to see you. We're all in studio today. When I get Becky and John in one room together, I feel like I've, you know, this is magic. And then when you pour a little alcohol in burst into flames.
If you insist.
Yes, and we actually have some, or Leo, where did you get this, by the way?
Whole Foods.
The newest, I've been wondering.
It's the Georges de Boeuf.
Yeah, well, it's one of the better ones, but it's a Beaujolais Nouveau, which is typically Drek. Unless they have a really great year, and this 2009 is notorious for being maybe perhaps the greatest year in Beaujolais.
I was
since
surprised.
The 40s.
Yeah, we always get it for Thanksgiving. You know, it's kind of the tradition because it's a very
this would be
light...
an outstanding turkey wine.
Yeah, it's a very light wine.
So what you want to look for is the magnums of it. They usually if
and put it aside. But see, this
no,
doesn't
no,
keep.
No, no,
you got to drink
put
it
aside. But the funny thing is, some of these are made in such a way that they actually do keep because they're not made in the true Beaujolais Nouveau style.
Oh, so a true Beaujolais might keep.
No, a true Beaujolais Nouveau won't
would not
keep.
Got it.
It turns into foamy root beer
it's
by
terrible.
March.
Yeah, you have to drink it.
Yeah, this one here probably won't do
is
that.
Is it any measure? I don't know why we're going
in
this
tech,
week.
Not in wine. This week in tech.
But wait a minute.
Technology of wine.
Oh, is it any measure of how good the general vintage will be if the Beaujolais Nouveau is good, or is that just...
Oh, yeah, no. They already know this is a great year.
This is going to be a good year. Was it because of the rains, the weather?
Well, it wouldn't be because of the rains, that's for sure.
It's
no,
a confluence it's just of events, gentlemen.
I meant lack of rain.
Well, it's just a combination of ingredients.
So this is going to be a good year. This is, you heard it here first.
Yeah, 2009 Beaujolais. And their Beaujolais are a great little wine to drink. They're very, and then when they taste this good.
This is a remarkably good Beaujolais. It's a drinkable Beaujolais. It's really good.
You know, there is a lot of technology in the old wine sector.
The question is,
ground penetrating radar.
Forget it, Worley.
What the soil moisture could be.
Since you don't like Beaujolais from the sounds of it, why do you have this wine here at all?
Because I drink traditionally. I do try the Beaujolais Nouveau. We always have it for Thanksgiving. It's a Thanksgiving
plus, Leo Lepore wanted to show us that he could say, De Boeuf,
Georges de Boeuf.
He loves to say
it means I am the man of beef.
I am.
Everybody's thanking Becky for trying to get us back on the tech track, which is probably a good thing. But although, you know, the problem, I'm very susceptible, like you are with Twitter, to go into the wine track.
Mr. Viniculture over here.
I think wine is fascinating, and people always like it when you talk wine.
And now we've covered it. Next.
So Becky doesn't like wine. She's a teetotaler.
No,
I wouldn't say that's
drinker.
What's going on there. Oh, you're a beer drinker. If we did beer, would you get all excited?
Oh, yeah.
So let's talk about Zynga. I'm sorry. Well, let's talk about Zynga later, but let's talk about Vertru and in, what is it? Invisivilibon? These are the web affinity companies that are being investigated right now by the U.S. Senate. And Tuesday they had hearings, and rightly so. These companies are appalling.
This is a pretty interesting consumer story. Basically, on certain websites, during the checkout portion of your purchasing, a pop-up window comes up. And it's very confusing for some consumers where this pop-up comes from. And if you enter certain amounts of information, your credit card
certain
number...
Certain amounts... Your email.
Oh,
that's all you
minimal.
Need to do.
Minimal.
I've had this happen. So you go to orbitz.com, 800 flowers. They've all stopped it because of the
Continental,
heat.
Continental, they said. I
Continental
think
Airlines. There are companies that made more than $10 million because, of course, they share with these so-called affinity web affinity companies. So what happens is you buy something. I've had it happen at buy.com. And before the checkout is done, it says, hey, great. Thank you so much. Would you like a coupon for your next purchase? Enter your email address. They don't say clearly anything else. They don't say by entering your email address, you're doing anything. But in the fine print, if you were to read it, it says, by giving us your email address, you are signing up for a monthly charge to our loyalty program. You get nothing for it. They charge you between $9 and $12 a month on your credit card. They know most people don't read their credit card statement. And this is the creepy part. You've only given them the email address, buy.com. Gives them the credit card information.
This is the kicker for me because, like, the token piece of advice for anyone purchasing online is so long as you don't give your credit card information,
how are they going to charge you?
You won't be charged. And so that violates that singular premise of safety, that your credit card number is inviolate and that, as the consumer, you can assume that upstanding companies will protect that. But the fact that real, legitimate companies are sharing your credit card number with a scammy loyalty program is...
It's appalling.
It's
well, not as everybody in bed with each other, but don't forget the banks are part of this scam.
Yeah, because they make a percentage, too.
Yeah, but if you try to take this charge off your account, or you can't get it rid
it's
of it.
It's recurring.
You can't get rid of it. And you say, hey, I want to stop this. Well, you can't really do that because, you know, when it comes in, we have to pay it. And the banks will not actually help you at all. The banks are the lowest form of scum when it comes to this sort of thing.
Yeah, I didn't have one of these particular recurring charges.
There are a bunch
charges,
of, well, the recurring
here's
ones
the deal.
Are impossible
if,
to get rid of.
If you say cancel from now on, it's not so hard. If you say, I didn't know about this, I don't want to pay for this, I've been doing this for a year without my knowledge, good luck, because you're not going to get that money back. Mm. That's really hard to get back. Mm. And I think
but
you're
they
right.
They know They're, what's going on.
They know what's going on. Everybody knows what's going on. In fact, in this Senate investigation, it was very clear that this worked because the web loyalty companies knew that no one knew they were getting charged. And sad to say, the merchants did. Classmates.com has earned more than $70 million in revenue
from
this
scam. Well, they are
scam.
So
I'm
I
not,
don't know.
They're scammy to begin with. I'm not going back to... And these are the sites I will never do business with
well,
again.
Well, let's name them.
800flowers.com, buy.com, classmates.com, Columbia House, Confacheck. Get ready for this one. This makes me sad because I use them all the time. Expedia.com and hotels.com.
Wow.
Fandango, FTD, Hotwire, InQ, Atelius, MovieTickets.com, Orbitz, Priceline, Red Cats, Shutterfly, Travelocity, U.S. Airways, and Vistaprint.
Hello, Kayak.
They're gone.
There's nobody else.
Kayak, well, the problem with Kayak is it then sends you to those sites.
Ugh.
Now, those are the companies that made over $10 million.
That is so bad.
Companies, it's even worse, I hate to tell you. The companies that are doing it or did it, they partnered with Affinion, Web Loyalty, or Vertru, and they made between $1 and $10 million, include Yahoo, Victoria's Secret, Tiger
John,
Direct.
John, what are you going to do?
Pizza Hut, Lily
no
and
Victoria's
Vermin.
Victoria's Secret. John.
Everybody knows I buy stuff at discount houses.
eHarmony, Barnes and Noble,
wow.
BizRate.com. These guys are all
You only hit the
complicit.
Bees.
That's just the bees.
Wow.
So there's a link. CNET did a great article on this, and there's a link at the bottom. We'll put it in our show notes.
I got to pitch this story. This is a great. Oh. This is a classic consumer
so,
story.
So I think a better thing to list. Who's not part of this scam?
Yeah, no kidding, because that's where I'm shopping from now on. Now,
Who?
Well, I don't.
Is there anybody
Amazon
left?
Is not.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Amazon. Thank you, Jeff Bezos, for having a little bit of cojones and not, you know.
Well, he probably knows what's going on.
He knows. Well, this is the point, is that Priceline, all these companies know exactly why it works because you didn't know you were giving them the credit card and you didn't check your
bill. Stop for a second and just back out of this. What's web loyalty?
Well, it's nothing. What do you get? You get nothing for this. You don't get you know, maybe you'll get some spam.
Scam spam.
Maybe you get a coupon code at some point. Nothing worth $9 to $12 a month, that's for sure.
It's just, what would you possibly... There's so little I would pay $9 to $10 a month for.
Well, they know that you don't think you're paying that money. They know that... what's really going on is they know that, well, I'm giving my email address so I can get a coupon.
Right.
They know that you are being scammed. Everybody knows that.
Okay, so let's transition to this other scammy story that Michael Arrington is really hot on, about Zynga.
Yeah, we've talked a little bit about this before, and this is similar. I was explaining to Becky before the show how this, this is the Farmville thing we've been talking about, John. Zynga's Farmville, Yoville, they do some online poker.
Mafia Wars.
And they're very smart. They really know how to make addictive products that you just can't stop playing. Have you played? Have you fallen for this?
This is one of those things like smoking pot. I never did it because I was afraid I would
You're really smart. Yeah, you're really smart. Why did you drink Knob Creek then?
That was the other reason. I like alcohol so much. So why bother with illicit drugs?
That's just mean. I shouldn't really bring back.
Oh, you have to mention the bourbon days.
We have some history together,
oh,
you and I.
Stars.
But it's all gone out of my head.
Wow.
So the way this works on these is you're at Farmville. First of all, the whole notion of Farmville is virtual goods, right? So you build this farm, but if you really want to have a nice farm...
You have to pay real money.
You have to have Farmville greenbacks, and you cannot accumulate enough by playing the game.
And the government's not subsidizing this type of farming, right?
No.
Okay, just checking.
Now, if you were to make cheese, that'd be another matter.
Okay, just checking.
So in order to enhance your farming, you get so hooked into this that you're really willing to, at some point, to give them real money. And it's like real money for this virtual bucks, which you then buy a virtual fence with. However, I think the big bucks for them, and these companies, you know, it's estimated that Zynga makes anywhere from $150 to $250 million last year. The money comes from not that so much as people say, well, I'm not, and this is why, the whole thing's a tease. Oh, you could give us real money, or, hey, we'll give you bucks for free if you just take these quizzes. I did it once. And you take an IQ test. By the way, I think I scored very high.
Oh, good to know.
Yeah.
Good to know.
They hinted that I scored very, very well. They said, if you'd like your score, give us your phone number. That's when I stopped. At that point, you either will get a very expensive SMS message. That's one way these companies make money. Or they'll sign you up for stuff and they'll send it to your cell phone bill. So you'll see it on your cell phone.
Which is passive charging. So they send you a text and it charges you $20 bucks on your phone bill, which goes to that company.
Yeah.
So scammy.
Yeah. It's terrible. Somebody's pointing out in the chat room that I do exactly the same thing.
Why?
But I don't. You can subscribe. If you want to support the show, you can donate. And I say, it says on the button, recurring donation. It says you get an email. It says we're going to charge you every month $2. Big deal, right? But, you know, I'll admit the reason I do it is the same reason these guys do it is because if it's a small recurring donation, I know I forget to cancel. I'm still paying for Vonage service I haven't used in 2 years because it's just, you know, it's a pain to cancel. But, folks, if you do have a recurring donation and you decide that after this show you would like to never send me any money again, just you go to your PayPal account and you cancel it from there. It's very easy to do.
And this is part of the bigger issue of advertising, new media, business model. How do people who create content make a living? And this is a huge wider issue that is fundamentally answered with one word.
What's that?
Disclosure.
Yeah. Well, yeah, at the same time, and you could disclose in fine print. I mean, there's disclosure and there's disclosure, and I think you should try to act above board with people.
Well, transparency and disclosure.
Yeah,
I mean, you have to have a non-schmarmy approach to this if you want people to trust you.
I've been actually actively considering whether to discontinue the donations. The donations made it possible for us to get started. My original thought was we would only be on donations, and it wasn't enough to run the network. To grow in the way we wanted to grow. So we started taking advertising. I probably should cancel the donations.
I think you are one of the very few people in this business who could possibly use that model. And when you
the donation
to,
model
when
or
you,
the
you
advertising
model? The donation model. When you did it to begin with, I was flabbergasted.
I was hopeful.
That you thought it would work, and I was gobsmacked that it did.
It worked well enough.
From the 30s?
Gobsmacked is a good word. It's one of my favorites.
It's a great word, and I thought it was a good...
What does it mean?
Literally?
Yeah.
I would assume that it's of the same ilk as...
got hit in your gob.
Yeah, your gob is your mouth, your kisser.
You got hit in your mouth.
Puss.
So what's that got to do with him asking for donations?
She was gobsmacked. She was stunned.
Stunned? Well, that's a different word.
Nonplussed?
What, tasered? No, nonplussed. Yes, nonplussed does mean that. It's weird. It's one of those...
Nonplussed is a weird word.
It's such a bad
word. What does nonplussed mean?
It means impressed.
It doesn't mean what you think it means. Look it
up. That's right.
It doesn't. Means, it means something weird.
No, you think it means, nonplussed means like, I was bored by it. I was like, it meant, big whoops.
I think it means like stunned. Like,
that's what I mean. It means impressed, stunned. Wow, I'm nonplussed.
Impressed doesn't mean stunned. I can be impressed, but I'm not stunned.
Okay, nonplussed.
What is this week in semantics? Give me a break.
Nonplussed. To be put at a loss as to what to think, say, or do, bewildered. That's a good way. A state of perplexity, confusion, or bewilderment.
Right. Okay, that's not the same as impressed.
But is it the same as gobsmacked?
I don't know what gobsmacked means.
Are you getting a little warm?
I was a little warm.
She's had a strip
twit. She's heating up, ladies and gentlemen.
It's called Strip Twit. It's a new show. I like
this
the idea.
This week in stripping.
I like the idea. Strip Twit. We're going to play Strip Twit a little later on in the show.
But anyways, I mean, I think the bottom line is this also goes to transitioning to the interesting Chris Perillo little slap fight that's going on about advertising in Twitter feeds.
Now, we're all friends with Chris Perillo, so we should...
No!
You're not? You're not a friend of Chris Perillo?
No, he almost knocked the table over.
That was brilliant. Really did sound
It would have gone to you, by the way. All the wine would have landed on you.
I know, but I'm laughing because Leo says, we're all friends with Perillo. And then
and he goes, no!
No.
No, not I! No!
No, it wasn't.
So what is... Somebody, is this something on Twitter? Is this a Twitter thing that's going on?
Well, I mean, I think this is that thing you responded to about Brooke Burke, which is... So I think it's... was it... No, it was Scoble. Sorry. It was Scoble.
Not Perillo?
It was Perillo and Scoble, not Perillo and Aaron.
Scoble talked about it.
Right. He said Perillo was being a little bit on the devious side by not disclosing his...
Well, frankly, if you follow Perillo on Twitter, it's just nonstop coupons, right?
Really?
Presumably because he's making money off of this. It's advertising, although it doesn't say advertisement.
That's so is he complaining? What the guy...
Scoble's saying that there's...
Give me the position, sir.
That basically Perillo is promoting things without in Twitter... That he's getting paid for, that are basically advertisements without
Isn't he subject to the fine from the FTC?
But it's not Twitter-based, it's blogging. So how does...
What isn't blogging
this
and Twitter?
This is blogging. It's micro-blogging. It's what they say it is.
Well, does the...
So
does
is Perillo susceptible to $10,000 fines every time he tweets?
Apparently, he says, I can't sell a sponsorship without using the pound ad tag. But I'm looking here at, have fun with the Sony WX1. This is an amazing indoor light... Low light point and shoot camera. I see a link. I don't see an ad tag. And I think this is the problem with these is it an ad? Or does he like the Sony?
But this
I can't tell.
I can. It must be an ad because who can like a Sony?
I think it's an ad, right?
Well, and he also says, show me one person who's promoting or positive about something who's not getting paid for it. That's another one of his recent tweets, which is not true. And that's his perception. I have to sign a contract that says I will not cross
for ABC.
That line. Now, that's one of the benefits of working for old media.
But do you do satellite media tours?
When
you went to work for ABC, you had to stop doing SMTs.
I did them only when I wasn't doing any journalism.
Right.
I did
that's why, by the way, you weren't on Twit for a long time.
Yeah.
Is because I didn't want to have somebody who was working for companies that we covered.
No, that's not it. You guys
totally
had a lover's quarrel.
That's what it was.
It was the Knob Creek.
It was.
Blame it on the Knob Creek,
sounds
baby.
Terrible. No, and you know what? I actually respect that because
why
you
is he looking at me like that?
It's the word knob.
He's trying to
disturbing in this
you know
concept.
What he just did? You know what he just did? He floated something and he looked really carefully at me to see if I flinched. He's checking me out. He's saying, is there something going on here? Did I flinch? Did I pass the test?
You never flinch. It's unbelievable.
I'd also like to point out
you're an old pro.
Dvorak is the one who had all the hot chicky friends who he'd go to lunch with, like Victoria Ricagno.
You know, she showed up again on the TV. She's back.
Oh, yeah. She's on The Insider.
No. She's at KTLA.
She's working.
Anchor.
Yeah, she's working where Michaela is.
She finally got rousted from The Insider, which is a tough gig for her. She had to travel around the world and stay in first-class hotels.
I don't know how she did that.
Actually, it was over the top in terms of harsh.
Was it? What was it?
Well,
I never saw it. What was the deal?
She had a radical schedule. She was living it up. She was basically staying at George Sank and flying first class around the world, following these various celebrities.
She's a player.
I love.
But now
I think Victoria's very nice.
Listen,
girl.
She has a baby, so she settled.
She had a baby.
Really?
You guys aren't keeping up.
No.
Becky knows more about what's happened with Ashton Kutcher than he does with Victoria.
I know. Rumor scout? I don't know.
Yeah, she has a baby, a cute little baby.
You know, I was talking to a producer at ABC News the other day, and Leo's going to love this, and he was saying he's a big fan of Twit, and he was saying how Leo is a good example of someone who's an old media guy who's reinvented himself in the new media format. And I think that this has been a very tricky negotiation of ethics, of maintaining a relationship of trust with your viewers and your listeners. And I think...
Do you think it's more important in new media or less?
It's almost non-existent.
It seems to be. With people like Perillo, it seems
to be. Chris isn't even... He's the tip of the iceberg. I mean, just the whole thing is a mess. And Chris has always been kind of a promoter. I mean, even in old media.
But okay, so let me query you this: who do you find influential? And this was the whole point of Scoble's thing, is he said that Leo's influence rates, he may have a smaller audience than people who have more followers. Or
he compared me to somebody named Brooke Burke. Who's that? I don't even know who that is.
She was a kind of a model-y, beauty queeny chick.
She's got like 2 million followers.
She hosted a show of like hot babes travel the world kind of thing. It wasn't exactly like that, but it was. Now she has 3 kids and she pitches for Skechers and she's sort of this like hot new mom.
But she was on Twitter's suggested user list, so she benefited with millions of followers. Now, what he's mentioning is a service called Adly, ad.ly.
Right.
And what Adly's doing, there are other ones doing the same thing, is inserting ads into people's Twitter streams and paying them. They're claiming they're people making tens of thousands of dollars a week. Well, I thought I'd test this theory. So I signed up.
Oh, really?
Well, what the heck? I'm not going to do it, but I signed up. And they said your price...
You should test it.
Well, we'll see. They said your price should be something like $2,830.
A what?
Per what?
Per week.
Per post.
No.
No, per week.
They post several times a week. Not every day, but I think several times a week.
These guys who put those little underlines
all over your... It's BS. It's bogosity.
And they
don't have any advertisers. I can't believe anybody's doing this. I mean, that's the key. It's not so much getting Twitterers to sign up. That's easy. Get Brooke Burke to sign up. Big deal, right? She's got nothing to preserve. But do you get an advertiser? Is an advertiser going to spend that kind of money? But you can set your rate. So now $2,000 is way low.
I was going to say that's $100K a year. And if that's the goose
The
goose that laid the golden egg, why do it?
I'll do it. $10,000 a week. $500,000 a year. We'll see. If anybody... And you know what? I have to say, I'd be a little conflicted if somebody says, okay... That's a lot of money.
Okay, well, what if they said okay and you took the donation button off?
Well,
one
of the things Adly does is you can donate it to charity.
Oh, interesting.
That's their way of making it a little bit more palatable.
But I mean, that's just and my point about the donation button is more that it's a transition, because I think you made the point that that's how you got started, but the media is changing.
Well, we're ad supported now, and the amount of money we make in advertising eclipses the amount and the donations. But I still do the donations not for the money, although it's well appreciated. It pays the rent. It pays the.
I don't do it for the money.
No, I do this for the money. Believe me, I do this for the money. It's a job.
John, you and I are the only people that give Leo this much crap.
Yes,
I mean seriously.
No, I do it for the money. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying the donations are not a significant revenue source. But I do like the idea that people do a buy-in. I think I kind of like the idea that for $2 a month you have an investment in Twit, and it's a way of saying, of giving people a way to participate and of buying in. I don't know. I'm considering getting rid of it.
At Scobalizer, you're a walking billboard for Rackspace. This is Chris's post somebody sent it.
Well, it's true.
Oh, no, he did.
Your way of slash pound sign ad is superior to everyone else's? I don't buy it, says Chris Perillo.
Now, we all do ads. And somebody said to me, well, what's the difference between inserting an ad that says ad into your Twitter stream and what I'm about to do, which is an ad for 40
minutes? That's an ad. It's a break.
It's very clearly
an ad. I get up and walk out.
Which is good. I noticed that.
There
is that why you do that?
Because I refuse. I think advertising is evil.
Oh, the true commie.
How much do I send you every month?
I forgot. Whatever the case is.
John gets paid to do this show. I just want you to know. And he gets paid money from the... ad revenue.
I think that one of the points here is that it has to do with the medium. So the biggest difference between when you do an ad and on Twitter is tone of voice. Your tone of voice when you do an ad is completely different from when you're doing the show.
Not really.
No.
Yes, it is.
Really?
You make a huge, you become radio dude.
Yeah.
Well, but he does that most. He'll drop in the radio dude constantly.
But those are
for
social
any reason
cues,
whatsoever,
if possible.
Especially if you can do WKRP.
I think here's what I would say. I agree with you. Not so much the radio dude, but I say very clearly, this is the ad.
Right.
I think it's the problem with the Twitter stream, and the reason advertisers would buy a Twitter stream is because it's not clear that it's an ad. It mixes advertisement with editorial, and that's valuable to an advertiser because
Oh, yeah.
It confuses the viewer.
Yeah, you're trying to confuse people into buying your product.
And I think...
By the way, how can you trust... This reminds me of the spammers. They trick you into opening email with a phony baloney... I don't see too much of this, needless to say, but I do see it.
Because he gets no spam.
You get a little thing that's saying, you know, I'm going to be here this weekend, and it's, you know, it's the name, and you just don't get... I don't know who is this.
Right.
And you click on it, and it's like some bogus ad.
It's a Cialis ad. So I get this all the time.
So you say to yourself, could you trust these people to even ship you a product if you bought it?
They're liars.
When they've obviously tricked you already.
They're liars.
Yeah, they're liars.
I think that...
Where's your pop filter, by the way?
I don't pop.
Oh.
Actually, I do. But I donated my pop filter to you guys.
Leo the Port doesn't pop his
I don't
peas.
Pop my peas. I'm waiting for one that matches the gold mic.
Oh, you better get a hold of Heil. Tell him, look, I couldn't use the pop filter.
You have a titanium pop filter. I need a golden pop
filter. You guys, we're getting to Inside Baseball, and you've unwittingly transitioned me to my next comment, unless Leo needs to make an advertising break.
I am going to take a break.
Okay. I'll tease you with this.
What is it?
I think that movie theaters are dead, and digital movie downloads are going to live forever because of news about popcorn. That's a
this
tease.
Doesn't have to do with the Eggo waffle shortage, does
no
it?
Okay. But you're close.
Is it related?
It's a tease. Go forth and advertise.
Does it have to do with Archer Daniels Midland? Did you see my red Mustang out there in the front? Is that
I
pretty
did.
I paid full I always want to know you I paid full list for that. I did not get a deal from Ford.
Why?
I tried. I tried to get a friends and family discount, but apparently I'm neither. So I paid list. But that's okay because I needed a new car. I liked the car. And what I really wanted to do is try the Ford Sync because I knew we'd be doing ads. And I don't like to do ads for anything that I don't like and use. And you know, I think that's one of the reasons the ads work here is because people know that I'm not advertising something I don't use. What are you... Is that? Did you blow your nose?
Oh, was that a...
That was disgusting.
Nose blow?
So I have the Ford Sync in my car. I'll take you for a ride, John.
I want to just give me the keys while you're doing the...
You want the keys? Here, wait a minute.
I'll drive it
around.
Keys. Yeah, here, go ahead. Can you drive a stick?
Oh!
Real funny.
It's got 5 speeds, John. I don't know if you can handle that.
It's clearly marked.
First is forward.
Put your bifocals
second,
on, John.
Third, fourth.
It's an H, kids.
Fifth, reverse. And don't forget the clutch pedal! Anyway, it has the Ford Sync in it. One of the cool things is Ford Sync. Let me just give you a synopsis of what Ford Sync is. It's the hands-free Bluetooth connection that lets you control your car via your voice. The whole point is you do not take your eye off the road or your hands off the wheel. Anything you'd want to do, you can tell your car to do, and it does. Well, not anything, but for instance, I could say, dial Beckery Worley at home, and it'll dial you. The voice recognition is excellent. I don't have your number. How did that happen? Have you been hiding from me?
Mm-hmm.
It will allow me to say, read the front page of the New York Times. It will. I can get sports scores. I can get weather reports. I can even get, and this is kind of interesting, turn-by-turn directions. I think there's a reason for this. You know, you have to license the maps. They're expensive on the screens, and that's why those GPS devices are so expensive. And when you get in the in-car, it's really expensive. This way, you get turn by turn. There's no visual. It's talking to you. It says, turn left here, turn left, turn right. It walks you through it. It does a great job. It knows your routes. You can teach it your home, school, work routes. It will check the traffic and say, oh, we got a traffic problem. It'll reroute you. I mean, it's super smart. Ford Sync is, I'm telling you, the best I've ever used. I get in the car and it automatically starts playing my books on tape. I just love it. I want you to find out more about it. Now, unfortunately, that you can't buy it aftermarket. You have to buy a new Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury vehicle, I'm sorry to say. That's the bad news, but you can go to SyncMyRidePodcast.com right now and take a look at the Ford Sync. And in fact, while you're there, SyncMyRidePodcast.com, you can find out how you can win a Nano or a Zune. They're giving away 15 iPods, 15 Zunes, your choice, now through December 8th. All you have to do is tweet with the pound tag, the hashtag SyncMyRidePodcast. I guess that's, in a way, that's in tweet advertising. Or is it? I guess it is. Twitter's smart. They won't make that a trending topic, even though we get thousands of these tweets every time I say this. Pound SyncMyRidePodcast. That's the way to win. And it's a way of there for Ford to tell you that it works with the iPod, Zoom, but it also works with the Android. It works with everything. Anything with a USB connection. If you've got MP3s in there that are properly tagged, it knows the names of the songs. You say, play the Beatles, it plays the Beatles. Play similar, play next track. Give it a try. SyncMyRidePodcast.com. And we do thank Ford for their support.
John!
Oh, my God, the humanity. I don't think I can go on. I don't think I can go on. Oh, my God.
Guys, don't worry.
He's trashed my car.
Just a wave file.
And I just got it waxed. It did sound a little bit like a wave file.
Oh, thank you, made it funny.
It is really slick stuff, but enough of that. So why am I not going to go to the movies anymore because of the great popcorn shortage of 2010?
This.
What is going on here?
So the thing that keeps me going to the movies.
Oh, did you have a nice ride? That was quick.
We just drove up and down the street.
Yeah,
I played the crash sound effect, and I really got
burn
Leo.
Out from here, but I figured Leo
appeal
would
that would be fun. I have to learn how to drift
that
and all that
definitely
stuff.
Definitely will.
Drift. Is that when you?
Did you start it up?
I drove it down.
You really did?
Yeah, at the end of the block and back.
But it's a longer ad than I thought. I didn't realize I was talking so long.
We drove really fast.
Yeah.
I did.
Doesn't it have that nice sound?
Yeah, it's just a nice.
Okay, you guys have driven the Tesla, right?
Yes, it's dead silent.
I have not driven it.
It's weird because it's so silent.
Terrifying. The acceleration in that car is scary.
It'll pin your head back.
Oh, it's
this will
scary.
Do it too, but it does it with noise. You know, I mean, you hear the engine doing it. And that I think it's a little less scary when it's silent. And it goes. It's a little, boom.
Right. G-force.
Yeah. No, I like the Tesla. I think that's a very cool car. If I could afford it, I would have bought
it. It scared me to death driving it. I almost crashed it in the first 100 yards.
If I could afford it and it had Ford Sync, I would have bought it.
Oh, there you go.
They got to do a deal with Ford. So we're talking about popcorn.
So I would go. I would watch all my movies at home.
Did you see the face? John goes,
We can talk about wine for 5 minutes, but
popcorn.
God forbid we talk about the popcorn.
Popcorn,
I go to the movies exclusively for the popcorn. I'm sorry.
Bull.
True. And the Diet Coke.
Bull.
Okay.
Do you know that a movie popcorn?
This is my point.
Do you know how many calories? How many grams?
100 calories. It's like a medium bag.
It's like three Big Macs.
No, it's 60. Yeah, probably. It's 60 grams of saturated fat. Which
now, is,
that
if you don't? If I say no butter?
It has nothing to do. This is a no butter. It's that they pop it in coconut oil. It's got the equivalent of 36 strips of bacon.
Is that right? You put it that way, it sounds good. I'll take it. There's more.
Plus 8 pats of butter.
8 pats of butter.
The equivalent saturated fat.
No, this is not possible.
No, it's true. I saw the same report.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me.
36 pieces of bacon and 8 pats of butter?
Yeah.
And no wonder the public is dropping
obese.
Dead left.
Oh, and then you have that with real Coke?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Get some sugar in there with their
big
fat.
Giant Coke with a big giant thing?
Yeah. So, for me, I mean, I know this sounds kind of creepy, but, like, that was a huge part of my experience. And it's hard to smuggle in popcorn.
No wonder you lost so much weight.
I know, right? Wait. This is not pro-Anna side.
This is a story from the New York Times. The nutritional value of popcorn at the largest movie chains has changed little. It's been this way for a long time.
Well, what is a long time to you?
15 years, it says, the last study.
Not long at all. That's 1985.
Okay.
What was the dominant computer operating system?
Is this old guys in tech again?
DOS 5.
That was last week.
Like that's from the early 90s, in other words. That's not that long.
Yeah, but
when I was a kid.
It was worse because they put butter on.
Butter's probably not as bad
they did
as this
it
crap.
In coconut
a medium-sized popcorn and medium soda, the nation's largest movie chains, packs the nutritional equivalent of 3-quarter pounders topped with 12 pats of butter.
So my point is, you know, all these experiential factors of the movie
that just sounds exaggerated to me.
When you do the science, then you come back to me, Mr. DeVore. Not that I did.
It's not that hard. It's not that hard to imagine,
you don't
really.
Have to do the science, you just make it up as you go along.
Right. That's news.
Now this is a medium. Now part of it is because the popcorns have gotten bigger.
Right,
medium popcorn.
20 cups.
Yeah, it's 20 cups. It's
early 90s, I said.
Like the handful's a half a cup.
So it's 40 handfuls of popcorn.
So
1,200
anyways,
calories. That's only 30 calories per handful.
It's all about digital downloads, was my
point. Well, you can't even have popcorn now. You guys are buzzkills.
I can make it worse if you'd like me to.
Oh, God.
Do you know the plastics in the microwave popcorn you're having at home when you eat?
I only have air pop.
I was going to
say. I bought an air popper on Amazon.
You're talking about Orville Redenbacher's microwave popcorn?
The carcinogens in the microwave popcorn are scary.
It's kind of debatable which will kill you faster, to be honest, the fat or the carcinogens.
Air pop, baby. And actually, Regal Theaters, I have to give them a plug. They said they tried to institute air pop.
Oh, it's tasteless.
But people were...
That's the problem.
I know. But I think it's just sort of pathological, the way you just kind of feed your face unconsciously. That's what I love about popcorn. Anyways.
According to Good Morning America, I never heard of them. Are they good?
Where do you think I heard the story?
I still like... I did it the other day. My kids, who had never had it before, kind of fell over in a faint. I popped the popcorn in a pan. You know, you go, shh.
Right.
And I put real butter on it, and they had this. And they said, wow, what is this?
Isn't that funny?
They'd never had it. They'd only had...
What have you been doing with your kids all these years?
Wow. Microwave, which is a big mistake.
So do you guys want to talk Black Friday?
Yeah.
I have some really good info.
Can I ask you one question, though? Why do they call it Black Friday? Because that's really not...
And by
talk about marketing.
Isn't this a new term? Do you remember this when you were a kid?
No.
I only remember Black Friday from about 10 years ago to the current.
Yeah.
If you're in the red, you're not making a profit. You're in debt.
Yeah, but this
you're
is a new term that we're all of a sudden accepting as an old term when I don't see it.
The black, being in the black, it's an accounting term. You change pens and you work in black pen. And
what's in the blue?
I don't know.
Same thing as black.
Oh, okay. Good to know. Profitable. So this is the day every year when
they could call it Blue Friday.
Retailers go into the profitable space.
All right. Ignoring enough said. Okay. I think we got the point.
I actually think, though, that we were talking earlier about, not on the show, but before the show began, about spin and how, you know, they call prunes dried plums and call, dried cranberries craisins.
They
should change the name for Black Friday because it sounds like,
frankly,
it sounds like a Holocaust.
Well,
I mean, it sounds terrible.
The guy at Walmart, a temporary worker, got trampled to death last year.
That's
so
right.
I think it's appropriate.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, Walmart is instituting new policies.
What are they doing?
I don't quite understand what this means, but they've said that they're placing...
24/7, I thought.
No. Well, some stores are... But some stores are placing waiting pods throughout the store.
What's a waiting pod?
I have...
It's like metering traffic on the freeway.
I'm just reporting it.
You're going to have lights that say, stop, go?
I don't know.
Do you think the people who trampled this worker are going to follow the lights?
I go every year to Best Buy and do this live shot, and the people lined up around the block.
When they leave,
the detritus of alcohol is insane.
They're boozed up.
It's no offense to Best Buy. They do a really good job with security, and they work really hard on it. But if you're going to be in line from midnight Thanksgiving till 5 a.m. the next morning...
It's a party.
It's a total party.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah. Actually, it's a social event. Yeah. And that's the other thing about Black Friday. It's a group think. It's a social event in a world where we're all sort of spread out.
I think we should
out.
Go with a hot dog stand.
That's a great idea. Think of the money you
could make.
Jello shots.
Start about
Knob Creek.
Hey.
You have to get a license for that, but the hot dog stand, well, you need a license for that too, but not as bad as a liquor license.
You could just keep them under your coat.
So some Walmart stores are going 24/7.
Hot dogs. Get your hot dogs.
Toys R Us is opening at midnight on Thanksgiving night, and... A lot of stores
have. Why don't you just go shopping tomorrow? Why is the point?
The prices can be insane.
For instance, Walmart, Blu-ray, DVD player from Magnavox.
$78. The next best deal is $149 for the Sony Blu-ray player, which is pretty much everywhere at Target, Walmart, Kmart, I think. It's pretty ubiquitous. $149 is the next step up, and that's a Sony.
Would you run out and buy a Blu-ray player, though? I mean, for $78?
No. And I'll tell you why.
Why?
It depends on what your time is worth. You're going to have to wait in a long line. It's going to be a hassle. It's going to be 2 or 3 hours out of your day.
It's people like you that make Best Buy work because they go, well, we don't have to charge that great deal.
My whole point was the thing I just said, which is for many people, it's a social event.
Let's see what Amazon... Wait, I'm going to go to Amazon. Now, they won't have the Black Friday deals up, though.
No, Amazon... And Amazon actually doesn't have a Black Friday per se.
Seen the website that has all those pictures of those people in Walmart, you know, wearing weird clothes?
No. Oh, you sent it to me, that person who had the bike shorts with the...
Oh, it's beyond that.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
There's a website dedicated to this.
Yeah.
This is your social event you're talking about.
Oh, so brilliant.
Somebody on the peopleofwalmart.com.
Oh, you sent it to me. It was so good. Okay, so that's... Blu-ray players, $79 for the Magnavox, $150 for the Sony. Those are the two variables.
What Blu-ray brand is it?
Magnavox.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, my God.
Guy's wearing a G-string.
Scary.
Oh, that's attractive.
Wow.
Yeah, I would wear a bikini top.
People of Walmart.
That being said,
Walmart has, I would have to say if I was going to pick one store to go to for Black Friday, it would be Walmart. And Walmart's the only store that will match Black Friday deals. All the other stores who have a price matching policy have an exemption for Black Friday or time specific deals. So Walmart's the only one that will match if it's the exact same item.
So if you get a deal somewhere, just bring it to Walmart and say, hey, look, you know, the newspaper or whatever, and they'll match it.
Yep. Now, interestingly enough, let me hit a couple other categories because I think this is important. GPS. Nice GPSs, 4.3 inches or better, yeah, are where the sweet point is.
I got a Ford Sync. I don't really need that.
You got a Ford Sync.
I don't know.
4.3 inches, $99. Radio Shack for the time.
Wow, that's a big
Target
screen. $99.
Down from $249 at Target.
Wow.
Staples has a 7-inch Magellan for $199. Walmart has a 33.5-inch TomTom for $59.
Now, are you getting this from like BlackFridayInfo.com? Are you going to
BFAds.net.
BFAds.
It is the best.
Is that the best one?
Because what's great is you can search by category, by product name, or by store, and it'll pull up all examples. So if you know that you want a 7-inch GPS, it'll pull it up. You and your Walmart.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. This is bad. I shouldn't be doing this.
You can go on for years.
You cannot bring up the one with the bike shorts.
Look at this one.
Oh!
I'm sorry.
Is that really back fat?
Yeah, that's back fat.
Yeah.
And you know what's great about back fat?
It looks like front something.
Yeah, you know what's great about back fat? You don't really need to cover it up like you would the front fat.
But how does she like bifurcate it that way?
She's wearing her top is too tight.
That is impressive.
I'm so sorry.
Wow.
I have to apologize,
that's
Becky.
That's an image I'll never get rid of.
I'm sorry. I burned that into your brain. And for those of you not watching on video, just say thank God. Thank
Hot
God.
Hot toys, God. No Black Friday deals. Juju hamsters, no Black Friday deals.
Is that the hot toy this year?
It's a scarcity issue. And this is something that's really interesting to
consider.
Wait a
minute. Say this again. Juju hamsters?
Juju pets.
Juju?
Z-H-U.
Oh, Juju.
Juju. I'm sure there's a proper Mandarin pronunciation.
Who buys this crap?
It's a sub $10 kind of interactive pet thing that you would get for about a 5-year-old. And they've been under $10. But this is an issue, this Black Friday scarcity, because a lot of these retailers have been so bearish about what the holiday buying season is going to be like that they've understocked.
Yeah.
And so these really hot items, Juju Pets, Mattel Mindflex, Barbie Fashionista.
Every year this happens, right? There's, you know, the Tickle Me Elmo. There's something that is just you can't keep in stock.
But I think in years prior, it's been more of a collective desire for a certain pet. A certain toy. And this year, I feel like it may have more to do with forecasting and inventories.
You know, the good news is there is a Juju Pet iPhone app.
Oh, thank God.
So if you can't, you know, if you get
who
home.
Who needs this crap?
Parents who promised it to their kids.
You saw the Office episode where Dwight buys out every Barbie at some sort of weird doll in town.
Yeah, I remember last year, I think.
And he sells them to people for thousands of dollars.
Well, what's interesting about this from a sort of a technology perspective is they've taken these really popular items off of the websites. So I can't find these items on the websites for Toys R Us or Walmart.
You're not doing this for your kids, or are you?
Oh, heck no.
They're too young.
Yeah.
They're not old enough yet.
You know what they're getting this year? Duplo.
How old are your girls?
Boy and girl.
Boy and
girl. They are going to be 2 in January.
So can you get us a Slinkit?
You know, I brought some infomercial products.
But you didn't bring a Slinkit.
She's the queen of Slinkits.
I brought some jammies.
What's that?
Like little kid jammies, because you never know.
Oh, I can give them. It's a good gift.
I know. You know, just a couple other interesting questions I have for you guys. One other thing. Target. Target has $3 coffee maker,
Target.
$3 Target, $3 toaster, $3...
Yeah, that's what I want.
I'm giving everybody in my family $3 toaster. Hey, happy Christmas. $3 toaster for you. Enjoy.
Such a deal.
Oh, you want more? I got $3 coffee maker. You love it.
Leo,
that's $6 I give you.
There are so many things wrong with that.
I like that voice. That's kind of a Miss Swan as a male.
I never use it.
It's interesting.
You just
it could
did.
Be sub-Saharan. It could be Asian.
You know, when I was in Dubai, the funniest thing happened. A bunch of Arabs came up to me and said, "How come you never do Arab accent?" I said, "What do you mean? I mean, people hate it when I do the accent. They think
just
I'm mocking them."
On the
them.
Street, people came up and said this to you?
Yeah, I'm huge in Dubai. You don't know. Oh, I'm huge in Dubai. They came up and they said, I don't know what is an Arab accent. I don't even know what it sounds like.
I think it's something like one of the accents. Like that. It's an accent I don't know.
I could see you working on that.
I'll work on it. I'm going to work on it.
Did you know that one of those fake islands that they're creating is actually in the shape of Leo's head? He's so big.
I'm
in
huge
Dubai.
In Dubai. Actually, that was one of the islands they canceled. It was kind of sad. So there's just the nose. I saw it. You know, they brought me out there in a boat, and there's just a nose hanging in the water there. It's really kind of depressing,
that's
really.
So sad. You're like the Sphinx of Dubai.
I think 14 Chinese people died to make that nose.
I think it's basically something like a Middle Eastern accent in general.
But what is a Middle Eastern accent?
It's,
I can't
it's
do that.
It's got to be like a...
I don't.
You're close.
That's
you're
Russian.
Close.
That's
no, it's a problem for me. Is it keeps changing to other things.
No, it's good.
So it's I have to have
I
probably
think the
feel a lot.
Guy of, has Arabs occasionally.
Do they have Arabs on the family? Yeah. I'll steal it from him.
Yeah, I steal it.
He's
from
him. Seth MacFarlane.
Did you see that comedy show he did?
No.
Where him and what's her name, the woman who also used to be with the Friday.
She's great. Yeah.
She's just the one who dismissed Swan, that right. crazy character.
Right.
And the two of them were live on stage. Doing a song and dance. I'll bring you a DVD of it.
Well, it must be on YouTube by now.
So yeah, here's probably. Where I need your advice.
Yeah, just go
because you are two sages, a.k.a. old dudes, who've been in this business for a long time. One.
Ask for more money. That's my advice.
One, netbooks. So we're in this transitional period where what we've got is I can't recommend in good faith to people who are watching Good Morning America to buy the Linux netbook. So the problem is that you've either got Vista... Or you've got Windows 7 Home Edition, Starter Edition.
Yeah.
And you have to pay $80 to
starter's
upgrade.
Okay. Starter's
it's okay?
Okay? Yeah, Starter's okay.
It's okay? What,
yeah,
what
for
do you
for a netbook?
For a while, Starter, they Microsoft made noise about, press there's a button on the right.
Yeah.
For a while, they made noise about Starter only allowing three applications, and the hardware guy said, you can't do that. Starter's fine. Okay. I mean, it's, for a netbook, it's fine.
Okay, so they should do that instead of Vista, for sure. It's worth the extra.
It's about
$40
well,
more.
And now we can get into another story.
Same price.
Google Chrome OS.
Oh, yeah. All netbook all the time.
Which is going to be not only netbook, but require an SSD. Google's going to hold very tightly to what hardware you get it on. And if the only way you can get it if you don't buy it on a netbook.
For those who aren't sure, solid state you're talking about, right?
Solid state drive. And it will be available next fall for the next holiday buying season. But if you don't want to get a Google-approved netbook, and they're working with all the big netbooks, companies, you'll have to build it yourself from scratch. Now, you can do that right now. I've talked to people who have already installed Google Chrome OS. Interesting choice, though.
Well, so that was my question again, is because we're transitioning, let's say in six, well, they say it's going to come out in a year.
September, yeah.
So, at that point, if you could wait a year, is that going to be another
radical
drop?
I don't recommend netbooks to people in general. I think that they are so...
Okay, but
low
is,
and slow that they're painful.
See, this is
a nice one. I just gave
you
the Samsung NC20, which has almost a full-size keyboard, of a large screen. I think it's a 10-inch or it's a big screen. It's a very nice screen. I think that's usable. But it's the least I would recommend.
But see, this is where I sometimes think you guys are in the bubble. This is a price
I'm not
point.
In the bubble. I didn't recommend it.
No.
She says you don't recommend it because you don't realize how...
Price sensitive people are. I mean, this is the price point, and this is for people who have good jobs. But
I know,
they've already made that investment, and they're
well
down.
If
to the
all you want to do is get email and surf,
which
this
is
fine.
Most people do.
But I think what happens is they start to say, "But then now I can I'd like to edit some video," or
they want to do this or they want to do that. So they're out. They have to buy two machines.
Okay, but
they got one that's a clunker.
15% of the population wants more. This is still a good deal. So that's.
I'm against this kind of thinking.
This is what. The criticisms of Google Chrome OS were is that it locks you into this kind of inflexible system where you can, you're offline, you can't do anything. You can only run applications in the browser. And a number of people like us, PC World editors and so forth, have said, well, aren't people going to want to do more? They're going to start wanting to run applications. I don't know. Do you think that's the case? Or you're not a cloud fan. John.
No, not really. I mean, I think the cloud has its
Chrome OS only makes sense in the cloud.
Yeah, no, I think the Chrome OS is something of a red herring.
I have a gift for you, and I forgot to give it to you.
In fact, Sergey himself, just off the record, made a comment that, eventually Chrome and Android will be the same thing. And
well, that's interesting.
And so this whole thing, I think, is just a way to jack around Microsoft.
It puzzled me, because they do have, Android is a very good OS.
Yeah, they're putting it on netbooks, they're doing this and that and the other thing with it.
So
I think the whole thing's a scam.
We talked about SSD drives, right?
Yeah.
And were you happy with your SSD or no?
Yeah, it's fine.
You didn't notice a huge improvement? I guess it was Gibson that was
saying. No, I didn't have the huge improvement because I didn't have the motherboard to support the absolute max speed. But the point is, it's expensive.
What was the capacity?
Still
I was going to give. I have, a new egghead.
Eggs?
No, I,
I just bought Newegg.
Yeah, I have 85 gigs.
Newegg had a deal, 160 gig Intel X25, which is the one you want.
Yeah, there's a new one.
For under $500. They had a big deal. And I bought one for you, John, but I forgot to bring it. But I'm going to give it to you. It'll be your Christmas present. But you need a machine to put it in.
I got a new machine I'm building right now with an i7 in it.
Good. Perfect. So pull out the hard drive. 160 gigs is enough. It's plenty, really.
Oh, P.S. One quick thing.
To
last
boot.
Black Friday deal.
Yeah.
Terabyte, $59.
That's amazing. We buy...
Yeah, there you go. Terabyte, $59.
We buy Caviar Green drives at Newegg. A terabyte and a half for $100. So the prices have tumbled. Tumbled for hard drives. Of course, I go through quite a few. You see, we have them all up there. That's our storage.
Wow.
I'll have to take you upstairs and visit the sands.
Okay, so you ready for my next trend question?
Yes.
California says that by 2011, energy consumption on television sets that need to be sold in California need to be reduced by 30%.
Did they approve that rule?
5-0.
Oh.
And then by 2013, energy consumption down by 50% on television sets.
50% from what?
Today's
average?
That's a good question. The specifics here,
yeah, there
I don't
you go.
Know.
50% from what? Now's the time, ladies and gentlemen, to get your plasmas while they're still available.
That was my question. So the plasma deals this Black Friday, $5.99 for a 50-inch plasma.
Yes. I know.
Yeah, but is this even a usable 50 plasma? I mean, is it any good?
Well, there's a
Sanyo, I think,
for $5.99, and there's a Samsung for $6.99.
I'd get the 50, Samsung.
Yeah, it's $100 better.
So you're saying that you think... I was surprised they passed this. I know when they proposed this ban, it was hugely controversial.
Well, the CEA was definitely against
it. Oh, yeah. I mean,
that's their job.
It's stupid. So the legislature has now said you can't buy an inefficient TV. Actually, not legislature. As you said, regulators. It's the CEC. Starting in 2011. I want to see these criteria because I wonder what it's based on.
It's 30% reduction against current standards.
Standards.
So what that means is uncertain, but let me give you an example. So an LCD compared to a plasma is supposed to be a 30% reduction in
already.
Energy.
Yep.
Minimal.
Yep. And the new LED backlit TVs are even more efficient.
And I've heard those are like 30% even more.
And you know what? They're very good.
Right.
They're not plasma, but they're very good.
So I think that this is the year to buy the plasma. Because as California goes...
Yeah, because we want to consume more energy. I think if you really want to consume more energy, you should buy now. That's why I bought the Mustang. I feel that it's my right.
To get a V8 finally, Leo. How long does it take for you to get a clue?
You know what I figured out?
Schmarbin.
I thought, this is the... I don't drive much. I drive a few miles, to and fro work. If I drive.
Rationalization.
I figured this is the last time I'm going to ever be able to buy a gas car.
A V8.
Like this, a V8 gas car. I
mean, this would be that part.
But historically, do regulations like this work where the California Energy Board says you can't buy this TV?
Everyone's creating a parallel to the Air Resource Board's mandate about the emissions.
Fluorocarbons or emissions, okay.
And so in California, our emission standards are very different. But here's the difference. And basically, let me give the backstory. When California changed the emission standards on cars... Many car manufacturers.
Okay.
Was that a cow farting? What was that?
No. Sorry. I'm going to play it a little bit. It's an Arab accent somebody sent me.
Oh, no. I'm sending you a note to another one.
Yeah,
it's so interesting because I was doing this really fascinating dissertation on EPA
standards. We were paying zero
attention
to you if you haven't noticed.
No, keep going because we've got this all on tape. I'll review it later.
Car manufacturers basically said, well, if we got to do it in California, we might as well do it everywhere. And cars became lower emitters. But the difference is in California, we have to have a smog check every year. We actually have a regulatory
board. Which is a total
board.
Scam, by the way.
Right. But
what?
It enforces
it's a scam?
This. Well, this is yet again another Dvorak conspiracy.
No,
why is it a scam?
It's a total scam. You ever talk? Sit down when you go to one of these places. For one thing, there's two kinds of car checks. You can go to the check only or you can go to the check it and fix. And you can't. And the two of them, one of them you have to go 1 year, the one the other year. So
right.
And it's like $100 just for having to stick a thing up.
Every year I have to do this. Yep.
And so you ask the guy, go in next time you go and talk to the owner. And he's going to go on and on about, oh, they make us buy this equipment, and then they discontinue it, and then the maintenance on this thing, we barely make any money. The whole thing is a ripoff. The car check thing is a ripoff, a time waster. The smog check thing is a fraud. The whole thing is just a bad thing.
Leo, ask me what this is.
What are you, is that the world's smallest violin?
She
thinks it's fantastic. We just need more ripoff.
Oh, it's so terrible to live in California.
Well, wait a minute. Let me ask you this.
California, we got 10% personal income tax.
But isn't the air quality look, go to L.A. The air quality is much better thanks to these restrictions.
But the point, going back to the plasmas, is there's a regulatory board, ripoff or not, that forces people to be in compliance. That ain't going to happen with plasmas. Okay, so I live in California. I buy a energy hog plasma from a company that's in Virginia.
That's the unintended consequence, is that you're going to get a lot of people buying energy hog TVs as we ramp up to this.
What does energy hog mean to you?
My plasma.
What? Give me the
number. They use a lot of power.
Yeah, I know they do. But what's the numbers compared to an old tube? Let's start with that. Give me some numbers. I
think it's 500 watts, something like that.
You think it's 500 watts to run a plasma?
An older plasma, yeah. I don't know.
Do we know, or just we're just making it up?
I made that up out of thin air. Anybody know in the chat room? 600 watts, according to CNET.
I just had looked at a chart.
Chart from CNET. Let's look at the power consumption chart. This is actually
great. It's considerable, John.
It's a lot. It's not insignificant.
Is it as much as your 1,000-watt i7 PC sitting on your desktop? Is it that much?
Well, I'm afraid next, to be honest. If they're doing this to TVs, how long before they say, buy a power hog computer?
It's going to be a gamer's tax. It'll totally be on big towers.
The gamer's tax. You know, when you buy a car, I looked at the Shelby, $1,000 gas guzzler tax,
To mention what's on your insurance.
Yeah.
I'm on this chart here. Where does it say 600 watts?
I was paraphrasing what I'd read, which was that it was a 30% decrease from plasma.
The largest is a Panasonic TH65V. It's a 65-inch plasma, 575 watts.
That's probably a big monster.
The 50-inch, 535 watts. So Leo Laporte's guess was dead accurate.
So you get a 30%. So you get a 30% decrease. So the LCDs are chewing it up.
It's the plasmas that are really bad.
Plasmas are the hogs. The LCD,
the worst LCD is a Sony 52-inch. It's 285 watts, but most LCDs are lower.
LEDs, it's much better.
And that's really where we're going. The truth is, an LED backlit LCD is a better TV anyway.
Well, and that's
maybe not than plasma.
Like, okay, we're going there anyway.
Then we do a calculation on the watts, the number of hours of television you watch, the price of a backlit LCD, which is not cheap, compared to a $600 plasma over a 2-year period. That's the calculation. Somebody in the chat room, quick number.
It's not a consumer issue, though.
What are you reading, Freakonomics again? What is the deal here?
Way to go, Levitt.
Did you know? I got a statistic for you.
I got a statistic for you.
Driving my Mustang.
Oh, here we go.
Is more efficient. If you're a beef eater,
oh yeah, yeah,
10 miles to the gallon you get.
Oh yeah.
Oh, this is ridiculous.
Walking 10 miles to the gallon if you lived on beef.
You know, you really save a lot of money if you're a Mustang owner and you're dead. That's where you get the maximum benefit.
That's such a good point.
I'm a little old lady from Petaluma.
Well, the whole
little old podcaster from Petaluma. I just drive it to church on Sundays.
Thing about cows, cars, and kangaroos.
Here's 196 watt plasma from Panasonic 58 inches. That's better than the LCDs.
That's pretty impressive.
How many 58?
A Vizio plasma 32-inch, which I didn't know they made them that small.
Oh, yeah, I have
122 watts.
But you don't want a 32-inch TV.
Oh, yeah. But LCD, you said, or plasma?
Plasma. This is right here. I'm looking at this list.
No.
There are low-power plasmas.
They have greatly improved the power consumption of plasmas. Maybe that's what this regulation is intended to do.
And that's fine. I'm just saying
that what's an RP TV?
Rear projection.
Oh, duh.
Oh, my God. That was so exciting for me.
Sure she was going to say rear penetration, but that's another matter for another day.
Dad's not here, so that's
ladies and gentlemen, let's take a little break before Leo.
There's a 50-inch Hitachi with 336.
You know about Squarespace? You ever use Squarespace?
Yeah, tell me more, because I went and checked it out as a hosting option, right?
It's a great hosting option. So the idea is hosting and the software. Squarespace.com/twit if you want to check it out. We're using it now for Becky Worley reaches in for the cheese. We're using
here's an LCD that's 242. It's pretty high.
I think you're finding
just shows you. Just shows you. But that's a great chart. We'll put a link to that.
Why, that's why I'm here.
I know.
We'll put a link to that chart in the
It is a good chart.
Mr. Anomaly.
It is true.
You know, and I got the taxi, and the taxi have like the second passenger behind.
The taxi has about a second, but it sounds a little... No, it's not working.
You cannot... do an example of an Arab accent not and have to be about taxis. You are you are wrong. You are not a progressive.
$3 coffee pot.
I'm taking your liberal sticker away.
I think the $3, this coffee thing you do is good.
$3 coffee pot. The secret behind exceptional websites is Squarespace.com. This is hosting, yes, but software, incredible software. We use it for our inside Twit page. You're seeing people. Amber's partner, Chris, uses it for his photo. He's a brilliant photographer. Uses it for his photo page. A lot of photographers do. Great stats. Great social integration for YouTube, for Twitter, for Dig. It's just an amazing product. And I tell you, I get emails all the time from people who say, thank you for telling me about Squarespace. I'm using them as my hosting company now. I use their software. It is the best website I've ever had. People are very, very happy. But you don't have to take my word or their word for it. You could try it for free right now. You don't even need a credit card. Just go to squarespace.com/twit. And then if you decide to sign up, you get 10% off if you use the coupon code TWIT. So remember TWIT as the coupon code as well. We use it for our sites. I'm working on a new tech guy site with these guys from Squarespace. Take a look at the examples if you want to just get a sense of what you can do. You know, when you go to a WordPress site, you know it's a WordPress site. When you go to a Squarespace site, it looks just like a great site. Here's Dane Cook's site, danecook.com. Take a look at that. Squarespace. You wouldn't know, but it's beautiful. And I have to tell you, it's so easy to maintain, so easy to post on. It's the best, and you never go down because Squarespace uses virtualization technology that means you always have all the bandwidth you need. Take a look. Try it. You'll love it. Squarespace.com/twit. And we thank them so much for their support of This Week in Tech. Becky, it's so nice to see you. I'm so glad you're here. Is this your full-time job doing the ABC thing?
Pretty much. I'm working on a documentary right now about how geeks are coming to the rescue on global warming and climate change.
Oh, that's neat.
Doing it with Morgan. From Tech TV.
Morgan Webb?
Morgan Fang Schmidt. Remember Morgan Fang Schmidt?
Morgan Webb married Mr. Fang.
Oh.
Morgan Webb Fang Schmidt.
I'm sorry. the Morgan.
Right. The not Morgan Webb. What is she on?
Morgan Fang Schmidt?
Remember he was a shooter for news? Good guy. Anyways, I thought you would know.
Hi, Morgan. Sorry. I forgot you.
No, he didn't work on screensavers or anything. He was on Tech TV.
You know, there were a lot of people towards the end at Tech TV, and I'm often embarrassed by meeting people who say, oh, you remember me? I was at Tech TV. And I go, no, I don't remember you. I stuck to myself pretty much towards the end.
You were a loner.
I was a loner.
You were a loner, dude.
I was a troubled loner.
You were not a loner.
I was a troubled loner.
I'm just
going to intersperse some great deals as we go along.
Sure, please.
At Costco. On Black Friday and going forward, you can get $60 worth of iTunes gift cards for $48.
And now I'm going to go to the taxi. One lady, she smells very bad. I love the driver.
And a $3 coffee pot at Target.
$3 coffee pot.
Yep. Don't worry. It'll come back. I'll come back and throw some deals out there and see how fast you can get your Arab accent going, which I do not find even remotely appropriate, Leo Laporte.
It is not even close.
You know what? That $3 toaster thing you do, whatever that voice is.
$3 toaster.
It's close enough. You
think?
Can use it, yeah.
I could just I could say it's an Arab accent. Here, by the way, I went to Yahoo Answers. Question, how do I speak with an Arab Middle Eastern accent?
And there's an answer?
And the answer is a bit of a tricky one. Arabic is spoken right across from the Atlantic coast of Africa to the Persian Gulf. And classical Quranic Arabic is learnt and quoted by Muslims in places like Sub-Saharan Africa and the Himalayas.
Okay, that's an
what
Arab
is
who was
this?
Educated in London. That
no,
is
very good. No, it's not. You're like Henry Higgins.
No, that sounds more like a Pakistani.
Okay.
That pretty much makes you some strange girl from the street in northern London. I don't know.
Oh, I'm so sorry. This show is degenerating.
There's another Apple 100. One for sale on the eBay.
Apple One, yeah. Well, now, I wonder whose it is because there's only... Well,
some dude in it's a second generation owner. He wasn't the original.
Because Woz has a couple. I know Woz. Is it the wooden Apple One?
No, it has to be just a bag of parts with the original label.
It comes.
You had
with,
to build it yourself, right?
Yeah.
It comes with a signed letter from Steven Jobs,
saying
explaining that how to connect up a monitor and keyboard.
That's pretty funny.
That's pretty good, Steven.
Steven.
That's pretty funny. Is that on eBay? What's the current price?
I think it's $50K.
$50,000?
Oh, yeah. Which is funny to me because, okay. Well, I want
you to... Here we go. This is what the numbers I'm looking for. On the same chart, they have cost per year.
Okay, just give yourself a minor transition instead of just going off on your wacky tangent.
This is how he is.
I just want to finish this.
What is this?
It's causing you. It's sold for $50,000. It's sold.
No, he's talking about the plasmas again.
Oh, jeez.
The cost per year at the most expensive plasma is $82 compared to like $40 or $27. And the point is, if you're getting the thing for $595, it's going to take you 10 years of having the more cheap one.
John.
I think makes a really good point, is if you're a savvy consumer and cost is everything, buy the plasma now, because it's quite possible that these uber cheap plasmas will not exist in the very near future.
The California Energy Commission is not trying to save you money, John. They're trying to save the planet. Excuse me?
Hello. Al Gore is here with a whip on your back.
Earth to no agenda, Mr. Tinfoil Hat here. The Apple One computer sold for $50,000, but you know, I think this is kind of like when we sold the Screensavers refrigerator for like $10,000.
Yeah, did you ever get the $10,000?
No.
Well, it's a scam.
It's so easy on eBay to bid and not pay, right?
But you had to pay him a commission, though? The commission on...
Wait a minute. He's charging an additional $3,000 for shipping.
What? For shipping?
He's got to Uber
insure it. It's a bag of parts. It weighs less than a pound.
Let's say he actually gets paid. You know who's really, really mad?
Who?
Ron Wayne.
The third guy. Ron Wayne was one of the people who started Apple with Jobs, Woz, and Wayne. And it got to a point where they needed some money. And Jobs sold his VW Bug. Steve Wozniak sold his HP calculator to raise enough money to buy parts for the Apple One. And Ron Wayne said,
His risk tolerance was a little limited.
This isn't ever going. And he quit.
He relinquished his 10% stake for $800.
Worth billions now. Billions!
So this guy's ticked. He's like
the Pete Best of the computer world.
Wait, he's the guitarist from...
Pete Best was the fifth Beatle.
He's the guy they replaced.
No, but Best was fired.
Yeah, he was replaced. Yeah. So Ron Wayne was actually volitional.
Right. This is a great parable in risk tolerance. The guy.
Yeah, but how do you know? There's a million guys.
It happens all the time.
Who were right to bow out.
More importantly,
the guy who sold his 10% share in Pets.com for $1,000 made the right choice.
Fair enough.
So Drew NL from the Netherlands, he says the savvy consumer is going to say the heck with the crappy LCD and go with the plasma quality that blows the doors off the LCDs.
Thank you, Drew NL.
And 90% of consumers think that LCDs are much, much, much better than
most people prefer LCDs. They don't get it.
They don't see enough action.
No, you know why it is? Because you go in the store and the LCD is brighter in a bright store and it looks good. And people gravitate toward bright pictures. They're overly bright pictures. But if they were to get it home and put it in a home theater environment, the plasma's blacks are better.
I bought the plasma when I had the dark room. Now I have a room with 180 degrees
good.
Windows.
No
it's
good.
Brutal to watch.
You need an
football.
LCD. Oh. It's too reflective.
Yeah. Now I'm getting people complaining about my discussion.
Samsung 50-inch
I feel bad
LED backlit.
No, it's okay. I'm done.
What discussion?
No. About the plasmas. This guy says he's complaining. He says, you know, this is not interesting.
This is news you can use, people.
We have some guy
says nobody LCD's goes after my
is better
John.
Than LED. What is he even talking about?
Maybe he prefers $6 coffee pot.
$3
coffee pot.
Okay. No, ululating in here. This is a ululating
free. Now you're getting us in trouble.
Quit.
What are you afraid
Somebody's
of, Arabs?
Bomb the,
what are you afraid
bomb
of?
The cottage.
No, they're kind, loving people.
Will you get to another story? I'm trying to move the show
John
along.
Wow, you made John uncomfortable. That's impressive.
Dell's profit. What do you think?
I think this is the end of Dell's fall. I think they're going to snap.
Think they're
going
to turn around?
Have you seen that new Dell? Have you actually seen one of that Dell, that super flat thing that's even thinner than anything?
I own one. The Dell Latitude Z. Love it.
No. The new one. The crazy one. That's not out yet.
Oh, the Adamo.
Yeah, the Adamo.
The Z is as thin. It's as thick as a USB plug.
Do you have one?
And it's not here. It's at home, yeah. Mm. And it has the, you know what I like? It has the inductance charging, so you have a little stand you put on there.
Yeah, I've never
And it has a wireless
and there's more.
Ultra-wideband. Yeah, for $4,000. Has the ultra-wideband dock.
It's kind of expensive.
It's very expensive.
Well, this other thing is kind of, it's awkward.
The Adamo is.
Because when you open this thing, the thing lifts up. It's got that old-fashioned style, and I can't see using it in an airplane.
No, probably not.
Molly made the greatest point about the Adamo. It had the worst timing of any release ever, just as the market completely tanked and people were getting laid off left, right, and
center. And just as the Battlestar Galactica show ended.
That is so true. It was ridiculously expensive.
Why did they name it after Admiral Adama?
I have no idea. Makes no sense.
I really like the Z. I have to say, I really like the Z.
What's a Z?
That's the Latitude Z. It's as thin as the Adamo. It's got a 16-inch screen. It's a
but is it
screen.
Open normally?
Yeah. Doesn't have that slip sliding away
the Elite
thing.
Ones open backwards.
Right.
What?
Well, the standard ones are clamshell, and the Elite models, they started with the XPS, wasn't it, when they first did this, where it opens so that it slides out and it's up like this?
Yeah, that's what he's talking about, that weird...
Yeah.
Yeah, it stinks.
Why?
Because you can't use it on an airplane.
You should fly up front. I think you'd have a better experience.
I try to fly up front, but their seats are always hogged by a bunch of people with upgrades.
Is that a computer you'd take on an airplane?
Don't you take a computer on an airplane?
How much does that thing weigh?
Mine weighs 4.5 pounds.
It's kind of heavy.
Heavy?
Well, I use a 2.5 pound Portage.
Oh, you have that little Portage. Do you like that? Is it too small?
No.
It's basically a netbook.
Which got power.
But more expensive. Yeah, because it's got real power. Dell's quarterly report reported a 54% drop in net income in the third quarter, 15% decline in revenue. I mean, it's not good. But you look at Apple reporting huge, you know, $4.7 billion in revenue.
What was
47%
it?
Increase. Is that so? What does that mean? Does it mean PCs are not doing as well as Macs? Does it mean that Macs are less economy sensitive? I think that must be
what
it means.
Where's Dell's competitive smartphone?
They're doing one. They did one.
It's going
I
to
think
China.
Competitive was the word. Yeah, was
it looks so
out.
Ugly. Have you seen their smartphone? No. Oh, God, it's hideous.
I mean, multi-platform has to be huge.
I'm liking. Have you played with the Android? I'm liking the Android.
Yeah, I just.
And I don't like the keyboard.
It's sitting in my house.
I don't like the keyboard. The keyboard's too flat.
I'm really liking it. But I have to say. And I do think that. Google is going to win.
Is this the Verizon Droid?
Yes, the Droid.
Okay.
Google is going to win.
Who's been saying that all along?
You were right. Well, it's kind of hard to bet against Google, to be honest, but Google is going to win. I'm convinced now because it's an open platform. Developers are moving to it. This week, we saw two big Apple developers say, enough.
It's heavy. App developers.
It is. Heavy. It's 6 ounces heavier than the iPhone, but it's solid, so it feels like it's heavier.
Not Apple developers.
Here, compare it to the iPhone.
iPhone app developers.
The guy who did the Facebook app for the iPhone
said,
I'm never developing for the iPhone again. He's made it for the Android and likes it better.
Screen's a little better with the iPhone.
But I'll tell you, the really big defection is Rogue Amoeba. Rogue Amoeba is one of Apple's premier developers. They do really incredible audio software for OS X. For Rogue Amoeba to say, we're not going to develop for the iPhone anymore. But by the way, this is turning away a lot of money. These iPhone apps make a lot of money, but I can understand why developers are saying, but we'll spend a lot of time, energy, and money developing a product, and we don't know if Apple, for bizarre reasons, is going to say, sorry, you can't sell it.
I give you a 30% downgrade on veracity when it comes to open source issues, because I think your values are so skewed in that department.
Well, they're heavily skewed in that department.
That your judgment is about 30% overly. Well,
are you criticizing Leo?
I am. Huh. I decided to take my searchlight off of Dvorak and put it on.
You
Leo.
Are really.
I know. I think it's an interesting. It's an interesting point. I'm just saying.
No, I agree with you. I'm being facetious. I totally agree with you, and I think what you're saying is the average. Yes, I do. And the average person is going to say the iPhone. I'm gravitating towards. It's got the apps I want. It's got a simple interface.
I broke your password to get into Mint.
You broke it because you couldn't get into Mint.
No, I got in. I'm in. That's in.
No, do you know the email and password? Go ahead. Get in.
No, but I got.
Tell me what my net worth is. No, you gave it the wrong thing, and it won't. Now it will force me to re-log in.
Juicy.
He's trying to find out my net worth. You little ding.
Well, I know what it is. I already know what your net worth is.
You do?
Yeah, $5.6 million.
How'd you know that?
I found out.
You dog.
He's a dog. I wish I were worth $5.6 in my dreams.
Wow.
Rogue Amoeba says it no longer has any plans to release new iPhone applications. The reason is a 4-month delay in getting a bug fix release. So they already have an application Airfoil, which is incredible. They've got a bug fix. They send it to Apple.
This bug fix thing is a disaster.
On Android, I get updates on some applications, you know, like every few days because there's no process. It just updates.
Okay, but that's the difference between turning a Zodiac and turning the Titanic. don't you think?
No.
I mean, when you're talking about Android apps, the volume has to be so much lower than
how many Android apps do you think there are?
I have Take a guess. Oh God.
12,000.
Is that enough for you?
That seems 12? Small to me.
Well, small compared to 100,000.
But that's my point. It's a Zodiac compared to the Titanic. When you're looking at the volume, and
first of all, there's no approval process. You can update.
Put it on your own website.
Right.
You can't do that with Apple.
Right.
I think that's a problem because I don't trust people.
Well, I'll give you this on the on the Droid, for instance. Because it has multitasking, something Apple has resolutely...
So wait a minute. Hold on a second. Stop. Wait a minute. We just let this comment of hers slide.
She doesn't trust people.
She
I know this.
Trust people. That means if you buy something from Microsoft, you don't... Or no matter who you buy from, it has to go through some trusted source? Is that what you're saying? In other words, everything has to go through Apple?
Who do you trust more, Google or Apple?
No, but she's saying Apple. I'm saying I have a...
You're kidding.
Because
kidding.
I would rather have a strict parent who's paying attention.
Apple's not a strict parent.
Than an ogre.
Apple is. I'll tell you who Apple is. Apple is the drunk parent who you don't know.
Abusive.
They're abusive. You don't know if he's going to come home and yell at you and say you're a complete fool, or say I love you, I love you, I love you. That's who Apple is.
Really?
Yes.
You really? Okay.
They're unpredictable. There's nothing worse than an unpredictable parent.
That's true. I'm willing to learn, but my perception, because I'm not as inside baseball as you guys, and I think...
No, and I agree with you. We are too inside baseball.
And I think this applies to the general public, is that we trust Apple and we trust Steve.
No one trusts Steve anymore. This is the real truth of it.
Not the general public.
The general public might, but that's going to... Look, one thing I will say, I admit that I have a different perspective, but I think I'm only ahead of the curve. I think the curve will catch up, and I think that the trust level on Apple is going to go down. You're going to see...
It can only go down.
Well, yeah, it's kind of crazy right now, but it's already, I'm starting to see erosion. I really am. And I think that what's going to happen, I think Google's the next Apple. And at some point, we will stop trusting Google as well. But
I think Google's the next Microsoft.
Or maybe they're the next Microsoft. I agree with you. Yeah, they're the next big player, aren't they? They're the guys who are going to take over at this point.
Yeah, they haven't already.
How are they not already the biggest player? I think this is, and then
trust level is very high for Google. Do you not agree?
I do. But I just think that open apps are an interesting...
I agree. Consumers don't say open, proprietary. They don't have any clue.
No.
I agree with you on that.
And I think there's more room for abuse is my point from the, not from Google, but from the individual app.
Here's my point.
Folks.
Developers do care open, proprietary. Developers do care whether they can get releases out. They do care that Apple takes 30%. They care very much. Where the developers go, ultimately the users will end up, right? If you have the best developers not writing for the iPhone, but writing for Android, Android's going to win.
How does that argument play out for those who believe that Linux was going to take over the world?
Yeah, it didn't, did it? Linux is rough. It's not. But I don't think the best developers go to Linux. They aren't on Linux.
But it was the best platform for developers.
Because of all the different distros, I don't think that's true.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's true.
Okay, fair enough.
It's the best platform for a certain kind of developer, a developer who is more motivated by ego than money. But I think Google's smart. Google understands that it has to be both.
Google may benefit from being the second big player in the app market because it seems like Apple, in some senses, is experiencing an awkward adolescence.
They are. Maybe. Well, that's a good question. Is it adolescence? Is it senescence?
What does that mean?
What?
Huh?
Thank you so much for not making me the only blonde in the room. That's a polysyllabic word that just went right over my blonde head.
Senescence. You know, it's Latin
learned
for
old age. Oh, there it is on his calendar.
Ooh.
March 6th.
Come on, you know what senescence is.
Yeah, I like this reader on here.
You know
it's
what?
Senescence.
This one?
Oh, is that Shazam? Oh, that's the classics. Yeah, that's from the same guys who do...
Looks like a Mac page
heist,
turning, like the
check
little...
Check it out.
Yeah.
Here's the
drawback to that. There's a very extensive process to making a book compatible with it, so they only have a few books on it. You can't just download anything onto it.
Oh, that's cool.
You know what? The reader on the iPhone that really is the one is Stanza, which Amazon now owns, and eventually I think will become the Kindle app. So what do you guys think? Now we have three ebook readers. We have Barnes & Noble, we have Nook, or the Nook ebook reader, as I like to call it.
And the next one, the Cranny.
The Cranny. And we have Kindle. Guy called me on the radio show today, said he didn't know, he knew about Sony, he didn't know about Barnes & Noble because Barnes & Noble won't be out till January.
And then we have the upcoming Slate, which apparently is...
The Apple Slate, which may be delayed according to the rumor sites.
Yeah. Right, okay. And then we also have the Microsoft product, which is going to be a dog.
And
Microsoft's doing a... Oh, that's that Gizmodo video that nobody ever confirmed.
We don't know.
Yeah.
You just glossed over the whole tablet thing. We have a delay on an unconfirmed, totally rumored product.
That's right. A product that was never announced, and now a delay that doesn't exist.
Okay, yeah. Good to know. Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm glad
we're right on top of it.
Based in fact around here.
This is an example of the Apple distortion field. I mean, you can say anything about Apple.
You know, the Nook is sold out, right?
The Nook is not available till January 4th. It's not available.
I thought it was sold out.
I think they're having production problems.
No. I can't get my hands on a review unit for Good Morning America.
Well, that shows you.
Oh, then there you go.
And which means they're going to miss the big Christmas buying season. So that's not so hot. But remember, Amazon did as well. The Kindle didn't come out till after Christmas.
Next Christmas is good.
Yeah.
There's one other that we're missing. There's the MyBook and MiBook. And there's a third one, a fifth one that begins with C.
Yeah, there's some third party from strange companies. I think that it's got to be from Sony, Barnes & Noble, Amazon. It's got to be somebody who can make the deals for content, right?
Well, I think it all goes back to the iTunes model. It's about the content, stupid. If you don't have an easy distribution model, nobody gives a rip if it's open. They want the Patterson book.
So
they the Ivanovich.
I'm going to unilaterally knock the Sony out because it doesn't have wireless. You have to connect it to a computer. They do have a lot of deals. There's a lot of titles, but you have to download them on a PC and then connect the e-book reader. The Nook will have Barnes & Noble behind it. They claim a million titles because the Nook will support Google's book scanning efforts. Mm. And it's got wireless. So I think it's really down to the Kindle and the Nook.
You know what's funky about the Sony, though? So here's, you know, the company known for its proprietary memory sticks, but they have started a deal where they're doing the big library loaners through the Sony e-reader.
Oh, that's a good deal. That's smart.
So basically the library buys it and
you can
borrow it all via computer.
Wow.
And then give it back.
Do you have to bring the...
No.
How does that work?
I think you create a digital account. I know they're doing this with the New York
library. Oh, yeah. I've heard about this. I think this is sketchy.
Who owns the reader? The library?
No.
No, you do.
You own
You take
the reader.
Your reader in, load it up at the library.
The library owns the e-books.
That's not going to work.
And you can
That's
borrow
absurd.
Them.
Are they free?
Yes.
It's a library book, dude. It's free.
I guess if you're in a library, you got to figure out some way to survive in this digital content world, right?
And what if you could do it remotely? What if you didn't have to go to the library?
Well, that's the problem.
Call the download.
It's called the download. Right. Suddenly the library's disintermediated.
Yeah,
you don't need them.
But again, I go back to that's
Here's what Stanza
tops
looks like.
15% of the
Stanza's is not as pretty, but the underlying technology is good. And you know what? That page turn, that's an easy thing to do.
I was going to say,
Well, this still turns page, but it's a flat page. It's a solid rock. It doesn't flip.
It's not as good. No, they did a great job with classics. That's a beautiful reader.
So I got to do this segment about how the trend of ebooks is affecting people. And the obvious stuff is the business story and how many units are selling. What do you think about long-term effects on literacy?
I think it's positive.
You know, I think I've always thought that a lot of the electronic stuff that's going on, people don't write letters anymore.
They send emails, though.
But they write a lot more emails than they ever wrote letters. And a lot of these people,
I'm with you.
My son, for example, writes these emails that are as long as War and Peace.
Yeah.
It's just these huge, long emails because he types very fast.
I think I'm completely with you. I think that ebooks will have the same effect on literacy.
But is it a digital divide issue?
I don't think so.
Well, look, if you're going to talk literacy, there's a digital divide.
But that's my point. Isn't it self-selecting at that point where if we're talking about increasing the amount that people are reading, if they're that the elite who can afford
Well, it's always been the elite who have read. I mean, who It's right. only elite that read.
98% of the public of Vietnam is literate. It's the highest literacy rate in the world.
Wow.
Why is that, do you think?
They decided to make it that way. I don't know. Everybody reads it. I mean, half of the people speak English. It's a great place to go
visit.
They
have good public education, apparently.
I guess.
Something that America seems to have turned its back on.
No, we don't want good public education.
Why not?
We want to keep the people dumb.
Aside from the digital
They riot if
issues.
They know too much.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, the population is too
So
great.
You're of the bread and circuses
I'm just saying.
Persuasion.
I don't know.
Hey, what
I'm
about
not,
those rioters at your
what,
alma mater?
The five guys?
It took over the something
They took over the wrong building.
Wait a minute. What happened?
They
this
took
is
over
at University
Wheeler.
Of California,
they
Berkeley?
They took over like the auditorium. They didn't go to Sproul like they used to do in
like
the olden days.
Did you see? He almost said like we did.
Like we did.
I didn't say anything. I'm not that
I caught him.
You didn't catch
him?
I knew he and Mario Savio were like this.
They increased the fees at Cal by 33%.
for no apparent reason, and they won't cut costs at this joint. They just basically, the professors make $200,000 to $300,000 a year. They won't cut any costs whatsoever, and then they're sticking the students with a 30% increase in an economy that's in the tank.
But hasn't
they should burn down the place?
Hasn't it always been one of the best deals in education?
Not as of about 20 years ago.
It used to be $600 to go to the University of California.
Trust me, I want it to be one of the best deals. It's 5 miles from my house. My kids aren't getting any farther than that.
Getting in there.
This is why I despair of public education.
It costs more than a private school now.
That's why, I mean, Sweden guaranteed college education. Mm. And I think I worry about our level of innovation, our ability to stay ahead. You know, most of the students now at colleges, at good schools like Cal, are not American.
Especially with the
Well, it's mostly Asians, actually.
But there are a lot of Indians, too. And
mostly
I mean,
Asians. Well, that would count. The Asians, and they mix them up.
They're all the same. But I'm saying that I think there's a lot of... I'm not saying American Chinese or American Indians. I'm saying...
Yeah, from overseas.
From overseas, and they're going to go back.
That's because they make the most money. I mean, the university makes a ton of money off these foreign students because they have to pay all these extra fees.
So we're educating them.
So it's a moneymaker.
They're going to go back to their countries, and the innovation now is going to happen there. What happens to us?
We get screwed. What do you think?
Okay. But can I still buy an American car?
You just did. You bought a Ford.
Thank God. Somebody is.
I was just going to say,
In the car. It's got a gorgeous interior. It's a really nice car. It's very solidly built.
Doesn't it feel solid? Yeah.
We'll see after you take one pothole. Maybe we'll see. It's a solid car, and it's got a lot of pep.
Yeah, pep is a good word for it.
Yeah.
It's called a V8 engine and a tiny chassis. Let me break, and we're going to talk about GoToMyPC real quickly so I could pay for that American-made car. Yeah, actually, it's very affordable compared to, say, like a Lexus or a what is it called? A Maybach?
Maybach. I don't know what it's called. Bentley Continental. That's the car for you. That's your next car, Leo.
What do you think I am, a rap star? What do you think? It's time to party. I got Bacardi. I'm getting in my Bentley and I'm going to ride representing.
Now, if you can do that with the Arab accent, you've got something.
Okay, let's talk a little bit real quickly.
Oh, it's become so painful.
Are you mocking me?
Why do you have your Zagat guide on your iPhone set to Las Vegas?
Why do I have the Zagat guides on my iPhone set to Las Vegas? Because the last time I used it, I was probably in Vegas. Huh. I love the Zagat guide. That thing is well worth it. You have to pay monthly for it. I'm going to have to buy the new, or yearly, I'm going to buy the new 2010 edition, but that's great. Have I talked about Audible yet today?
No, what about them?
They're fantastic. They have a special deal right now. Free books for you, even if you are not an Audible member. No credit card needed. You do not have to join. I have been trying to get Audible to do this for some time. I'm really thrilled they're doing it. They call it, what's the name of it? The Big Listen. Mm. So now Audible is the leading provider of audiobooks. I've told you about them before. 60,000 titles in every category, fiction, comedy, suspense. I listen all the time. In fact, if you had brought my iPhone into the car with you, it would have started playing automatically. I'm listening to a Jerry Pournelle book.
Yeah.
Lucifer's Hammer. It's great.
Yeah, no, that's a good book. Oh,
it's a little dated, though. You know, it's funny because you hear Jerry's...
he's not reading it.
No. Larry Niven and Jerry, but you hear Jerry's politics come through.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it's a little dated. Like, for instance, the guy's in a waiting room and there's some young girl in there talking about the hole in the ozone layer. We've got to ban spray cans. And he's like, oh, you idiot. Don't get me started. And it's like, you know, she actually was right, but it's a little later. I don't know. Maybe Jerry would still say she was wrong.
He probably would.
Isn't it accepted now that the... Well, anyway, we won't go into it. It's funny, though, and it's a wonderful book. Lucifer's Hammer. That would be my Audible recommendation, but I'm going to do you one better. I'm going to get your free book. If you're not a member, you don't even need a credit card. Now through November 26th, go to audible.com/Thanksgiving. audible.com/Thanksgiving, and you can thank me later for this one. This is something to give thanks for on Thursday.
Thanks.
There are, let's see how many books you can choose from. It's a long list. A lot of them public domain because, you know, they have a hard time getting the publishers to give up their royalties on these. But there's some great stuff like Flash Forward, if you like the TV show. Dune, House Atreides, highly recommended. Pride and Prejudice, A Christmas Carol, Confederacy of Dunces. That's a great book.
Classic.
Really wonderful. That's a sad story, too. You know, the author of that never got it published. He committed suicide.
Kennedy and his, O'Toole?
Yeah, O'Toole. Yeah, and his mom found the manuscript, and she went to publisher after publisher, got it published, and it was... Didn't it win a Pulitzer? I think it won him a Pulitzer.
Could be.
It was a huge success, posthumously. Alice in Wonderland, the book I read as a kid over and over again that kind of informs all of my political beliefs.
Hmm.
I Am Legend, Fahrenheit 451, The Great Gatsby. There's a boy, there's a bunch of stuff to choose from. Badass, that's a great book. Badass is the history of badasses through the ages.
That's interesting. It's right up there with Pimp by Iceberg Slim.
That's a classic.
Of course.
I'm surprised you know about that. Ricky Tikki Tavi.
Wow.
Free is Free. The book by Christopher Anderson, Free, A Radical Price. Badass by Ben Thompson. Let me read you a little bit of the... this is free. You can get it for free. A Relentless Onslaught of the Toughest Warlords, Vikings, Samurai, Pirates, Gunfighters, and Military Commanders to Ever Live.
So no Chuck Norris?
He might be in there. He's a badass. But people like Chandragupta Maurya, the Indian warlord who commanded an army of drunken war elements. I'm sorry, elephants.
You'd be getting letters on this.
I know, I'm sorry. Know.
He's very progressive. He
and
really is.
I really like people very much. And employed an elite detachment of highly trained female bodyguards.
Ooh.
Peter Francisco?
No idea.
Unsung hero of the American Revolution, this powerful giant battled the British with a massive 5-foot-long broadsword. Can you imagine? In the Revolutionary War, everybody's got their muskets, and this guy looks like Conan the Barbarian with his 5-foot sword.
5 foot.
That's badass.
It's like holding me toe to head.
It's like using you, Becky Worley, to cut through the battle. How about, I like this guy's name, Wolf the Quarrelsome.
Ooh.
A mysterious barbarian leader who only appears in history twice. And both times, he's kicking someone's ass.
Right. He's a badass.
Banbaguta Gurung, a fearless Gurkha who won the Victoria Cross by clearing out 6 Japanese foxholes with nothing more than his teeth, a knife, and hand grenades.
Wow.
Anyway, that's free. All of these are free. But you know, you got to pick one. You can't get them all. So pick one. This is a way of
you can
Audible
get all
saying,
the badasses, but one book.
One, yeah, yeah. It's all in one book. Go to audible.com/Thanksgiving for your chance to listen to an Audible book. If you've been putting it off, you said, I want to do the credit. I just want to hear what they sound like. Here's some classics, some great books. You can get absolutely free. And, of course, if you sign up, we still give you that great deal where you get 2 free books if you sign up for the Platinum Edition, audible.com/twit2. That would be another, you know, get the free book, then sign up. You get extra books that way. And you could get, what was that book I was talking about?
Confederacy of Dunces.
That's free. Badass, that's free. Oh, Jerry Pournelle.
Yeah.
Larry Niven.
Right.
That's not free, but you can get it for free if you sign up with audible.com/twit2. I'm loving this. You know, the story is Lucifer's Hammer, a giant comet hits the earth, and it's like, what happens? And it's not good.
It's not good. Yeah, it's not good.
There are 2 kinds of people. The people who can watch or read the downward spiral stories and those who can't handle
it. What is the downward spiral?
Like Crash. Like all going bad.
I like those things. Yeah, what are you looking at? What are you
How
doing?
How do you get out of Petaluma in this thing? I finally got out of Vegas by hitting the GPS button, but I want to look at San Francisco restaurants.
Here. You go to the front page and you pick a town. I love Zagat.
I have to say it's very well done. It's very well produced.
That
isn't app.
That good? Yeah. So you go to Zagat
There's
to
an
go
app for that.
Okay, see, we're on Zagat to go to the front page. You tap here.
Oh, speaking of which, app map first salvo.
What
goes to the. Map.
Huh?
So
what?
Verizon v AT&T.
You're speaking now in tongues or some language I don't understand.
App map. You know the ads going back and forth between the there's
oh,
a map for
AT&T
that.
AT&T and
there's
Verizon mad at each other. Yes.
Yeah. So they've been firing lawsuits back and forth about
right.
And
AT&T says you're misrepresenting our map.
Right.
Verizon says you suck.
Oh right. And both are probably right.
Both might be right. Yeah. This is the main reason to get a Droid is because of the... you don't have the Zagat book on there, though. See, you give up the application richness of applications, but a wonderful
I think the screen
network.
Is better on the iPhone.
No, the screen's much better on the Droid.
You think so?
Oh, it's much better.
Well, by the way, your car.
Yeah.
Is that a touch screen that it's got there? It's all smudged to crap.
I know. You know, I keep a screen cleaner and a rag in the glove compartment.
The germ count? You.
I don't let anybody use it but me.
Okay.
You know why it's smudged to crap? Went to KFC last night.
Really?
Big mistake. Don't eat fried food.
KFC. Or movie popcorn.
Movie popcorn and fried food. Henry made me do it.
Oh, well, took him there. Kid.
He's a nice kid. I took him there. And this doesn't sound right to me. They said, we're all out of the crispy fried chicken. Would you like broiled chicken instead?
That doesn't sound right.
It's Kentucky Fried.
Oh, no. They're right, under serious pressure to go less fat.
Yeah, but there's really, you don't get a lot of fat with their the original frying technique that Kentucky Fried Chicken had, which was invented by some black guy, I believe. It was a...
show is so
no,
bad.
No, this is a fact. I think the guy was the inventor. It was a
deep... Colonel Sanders is white.
It was a deep fat fryer. This guy licensed it. It was a high pressure deep fat fryer, so you weren't frying on a normal deep fat fryer like every restaurant. It was like sealed, and then the pressure went up, and it created a unusual cooking style, which actually when you pull the food out,
it wasn't,
all greasy.
Yeah. No, I think you're right.
Yeah, and I don't know if they still even use these things.
Oh, I think they do.
Okay. Well, then that's good. Well, that,
I heard,
that,
an, interview,
have,
I heard an interview with Coolio, actually. He was talking about this. You know who Coolio is?
Oh, yeah. Great braids.
Yeah. He was saying it's okay to eat fried chicken as long as you drain it.
Yeah,
and
course.
I think it's well. There's some fat in the
There's a little residual, but generally speaking, if you put 10 cups of fat into the broiler and you pull out the chicken, there should be almost 10 cups left. Which means so what? You're not drinking this stuff,
right?
Yeah,
but I'm not going to eat.
So
lot
it's
of
a
fried
technique.
You, anyway, I got the broiled
technique.
Chicken. Do not get the Kentucky broiled chicken.
Aww.
KBC.
Aww.
It's a fail.
Oh.
Yeah, fail blog.
Sad.
It's tough. It's chewy. It's no good.
I had a bad day the other day, and Fail Blog turned the whole day
around. Fail Blog is the best. That and the people at Walmart. That's
people,
it.
Those are
yeah, people at Walmart.
That is like the best. It's Jerry Springer for people on the web.
It is.
Now, I just
so
got a bunch
great.
Of crap from these people in the chat room.
Because you said a black guy invented
Kentucky
Fried Chicken.
Yeah, because I mentioned a black man who may have invented the
device.
You're
supposed to be race blind.
Well, it just happens to be a,
Fail Blog
a
is
character.
Fail.
You might not be black.
Failblog.org?
.org.
Yes.
And it catalogs failures. On the web.
It's
Dan
so
says
fantastic.
We jumped the shark.
Oh, we
did?
Jumped
the,
yeah. This
hey,
is,
we got that claim last time the three of
know,
us did
let
it.
Me tell you something. If the chat room doesn't say the Joe Show jumped the shark, I figure we're not going to release it.
Wow. Oh, thank God we've hit that metric.
Look at the pretty so princess weird. Starlet makeup kit.
I love Fail Blog so much.
That's it. Like, I was having a bad day because I thought we jumped the blog.
Jumped
the shark.
The blog?
Yeah.
And I went to Fail Blog.
And you feel better.
Here's here's the magic mouse. What
I
do you think of that?
Mine.
Oh, let's see.
Take a look at that.
I really
have not
like.
Played with it.
Now, the interesting thing
looks
about
looks like a Dove bar.
It does.
It reminds me of the first Microsoft mouse, only it's a little thinner.
Yeah. I think Apple doesn't get mice.
I don't think it's fantastic, but I love gestures. Once you,
but it doesn't even do pinch and squeeze.
It doesn't do pinch and squeeze, but it does do up, down. It does do side to side.
Right
and
here.
Interestingly enough, they've had some trouble with installs. So I had
really?
To do a big... driver download. Like, it's
what?
The first time
oh,
I've
yeah,
ever had
a,
to do a driver
magic,
download.
You need a Magic Mouse driver. That's
for,
exactly right.
For any product that I've really installed on a Mac. And
so
ironic.
On the bottom of the thing.
That it's a Mac product.
I had Kentucky Fried Chicken last night. Did I mention
it's
that?
Everywhere.
It's like licorice.
No. You know what? The packaging. Did you have this problem with the packaging? I opened it on the show. We did an unboxing. And there is a sticker across the bottom, which you remove, and there's and it leaves residue on the bottom of the mouse, which is the last thing you want on the bottom
like
of the mouse is gooey.
Things.
Yeah.
You know what it's amazing in?
Like
is
to...
editing tools. It's great for
you can,
cut.
You can...
Because it goes, you can gesture laterally, and it'll take you along the timeline.
So
like in, what do you use here to record
well, any
your
mouse
audio,
should be able can... to do that. Well, it's got nothing to do with this mouse.
No.
You stroke the mouse sideways like that.
You just stroke the surface of the mouse without physically moving it across your desk, and it'll take you laterally in your timeline.
You stroke the mouse?
Yeah, like
there's,
that.
There's smoke coming out of John's ears for so
you.
Many reasons right now.
You can have it. All the life's gone out of it.
Oh, sad.
Yeah, I think that it's okay. It feels a little funny in my hand.
I'll be interested to see how long the batteries
what?
Last. This is so wrong. I'm so proud. Dad, you weren't here today, but it was these two
sorry, your
old
dad
farts
missed this
who
one.
Took it south, not me. Proud.
Facebook was hit on Tuesday by a well-meaning intruder.
It's always a bad start.
By a well-meaning intruder who took over some of the site's online groups as a way of sending a message. The message was, quote, think about the safety in your social media to the same extent you do in your real life. Thousands of different groups, from college alumni groups to those who support causes, were taken over by an organization called Control Your Info.
Not me, thanks, John.
Facebook said there's been no hacking and there's no confidential information at risk. But we're still investigating the situation.
That is weird.
So if you went to the group, you wouldn't find the group. You'd find a message. Hello. We hereby announce we have officially hijacked your Facebook group. This means we control a certain part of the information about you on Facebook.
We control the horizontal and the vertical.
Name the show.
No idea.
Outer Limits, baby.
Never even heard of the show.
Yeah, well, that's because you're young.
Do you remember the show, Outer Limits? You know, there was a series of these shows. They're all clones of Twilight Zone, right. Outer Limits. But do you remember Way Out?
Yeah.
That was actually
a clone of a clone. That was a clone of Outer Limits.
It was creepy.
I liked those creepy shows.
Yeah, Way Out was wow. Yeah. And I've never seen it reprised anywhere.
That'd be fun. I wonder if it's on YouTube. A lot of stuff like that makes its way to YouTube until the rights holders pull it down.
Creepy guy on the wing of the airplane.
Yeah.
Still one of the scariest things.
Is that Night Gallery or Twilight Zone?
That was Twilight Zone.
Okay.
It was Shatner.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, yeah, it was Shatner.
Oh, shoot. That was going to be my trivia question. Oh. Who was in the airplane? Who was sitting on the
seat? We all know.
Yeah, everybody knows.
I wouldn't have remembered. I just remember that scary.
William Shatner. I think that was one of his very first.
My other favorite Shatner one was the one where he was stuck in the restaurant with the little devil machine predicting everything he was going to do. Remember that one?
No, that sounds great.
Oh, it's a great one.
Oh, it sounds classic. Can you buy those on anywhere, iTunes or anywhere? I'd love to look at those old episodes.
To be honest, I don't get people who buy shows. I've never bought a DVD in my life.
But she's still stroking the mouse. She just keeps stroking the mouse. Look at that.
That is libel.
She just keeps stroking the mouse.
Oh, that hurt. That's she. Yeah. That you're refusing to refer to me. I've stopped stroking the mouse long ago.
Yeah, where is my mouse? Oh, there it is. Thank you.
It's disgusting to see.
This is the preference pain for it. She just keeps stroking it.
Side, side, side.
That's what Becky likes is a side, side.
Stop.
The reason
Mayo.
This is... this. Are you prefer up and down now? This is the reason I don't like the Apple mice is because it doesn't have two buttons. You have to lift to do a right click. You have to lift your left finger and then click. It's like it's too much work.
Dumb.
It's just too much work. Mm. Moving on. Google Books. Finally, we've got kind of a settlement. A judge has now set February 18th for a hearing on this revised settlement.
I hate to be such a blonde, but can you synopsize this whole issue? Like,
how much time you got?
Well, it synopsizes is the key verb.
So I'll see if I – John, correct me. Let me see if I can do this because I actually have been working on this to see if I can synopsize it. Google would like to scan print books in and have it in its database, searchable, and maybe even offer those books. Of course, immediately as soon as – and by the way, without getting permission, just Google started doing it.
Right. This is the key.
They just started doing it.
I think we're going to scan all the books and then sell them, but we will give the publishers a piece of the action.
Well, immediately, of course, the Authors Guild and the publishers went to Google and said, you know, they sued them. They said, stop. Google made a deal in which they would put, I think it was $175 million into a clearinghouse, a rights clearinghouse. The setup included a way for rights authors to assert their right to the content. But there were some things other people, including the EU, complained about. For instance, Google retained the rights to the scanned books.
Is there any DRM on them?
Essentially, there was because you could only buy them from Google. And that's a good question is how they would protect that. But I think you'd have to have some sort of DRM in it. Google had the rights. Librarians were understandably concerned because it would undermine, you know, a free library, the whole notion of a free library. On the other hand, there are people who said, well, look, if Google doesn't do it, who is going to do it? These books, we're going to lose these books. Many of them were already falling apart. Some, like Jeffrey Nunberg, who's the linguist at Stanford, you hear on NPR.
Berkeley,
that's right, at NPR, said that you should look at the metadata. This stuff is being very poorly scanned in. The dates on it, for instance, there's a whole series of books that come out with 1 year, even though they come from a huge variety of years. There's no, you know,
was
missing.
This right?
There's very bad metadata. Ooh. Google's attitude is, look, we're scanning it in. We'll use crowdsourcing at some point to fix it, but the point is to get the content in.
Well, they're being scanned by robots.
Yeah, not so well by robots, apparently. Yeah. The settlement the really kind of went on the rocks when the U.S. Department of Justice said, look, this is effectively, this litigation is making copyright law. This is not what we would like to see. We don't think copyright law should be made by litigation. This changes Section 23. So the DOJ brief really kind of made the, you know, was the cause of the settlement foundering. So Google, the authors and the publishers went back to the negotiation table, made a revised settlement, which they submitted to the judge last week. Under the settlement, I'm sorry, it's $125 million. I'm looking now at some notes here. They agreed to pay $125 million to resolve outstanding claims and establish this independent book rights registry. France, Germany, and others objected. So now, the books covered under the settlement only are those published in Australia, Britain, Canada, or the U.S. We just won't do the international books. The modified settlement addresses charges that Google would have sole authority over these orphan works, the out-of-print books whose copyright holders cannot be found. It sets up an independent body which would be used to try to locate rights holders and look after their interests. I think that's a good potential solution. Rival technology companies, privacy advocates, and consumer watchdog groups, according to the AFP. And the French and German governments are among those who filed objections to the original settlement, and the revised agreement has also come under fire. For instance, the Open Book Alliance, which includes Microsoft, Yahoo, and Amazon, hired Gary Reback, the lawyer.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, the well-known lawyer who, you know, spearheaded the charge against, was it Microsoft?
I think Reback was so, yeah.
And the Internet Archive. We tried to get Brewster Kahle from the Internet Archive on Twig, our Google show. We continue to try to get him. Internet Archive maintains a digital library of websites and its own book scanning project. Says still fundamental flaws. Despite Google's effort to spin this deal, it does nothing to promote competition. In other words, let other folks do this. Nor does it reform Google's exclusive Apple access and monopoly hold on the digital database. So that's really going to be the.
Synopsis, this is a cluster in progress.
You know, I don't think so. I think this is, I would interpret differently. You're right, a lot of people interpret it that way. I would interpret this as a process that needs to happen to satisfy all the stakeholders in this so that we can go forward with some form of preserving these books digitally so they're digitally searchable. Admittedly, there's a lot of players in this, and so it looks like a cluster just because there's so many people, but I think that's how you do it. You propose a settlement. You say, I think what Google's doing is probably the right thing to do, which is we're just going to go ahead and do it. We're going to start. Sue us. Let's figure it out. Let's talk. Let's negotiate. And I think they seem to be doing that.
They can afford to do
that. They can afford it. And I think they're doing this in good faith.
Well, yeah, there's still this issue of ownership. They're scanning in a lot of public domain works and then claiming that they own these things.
Yeah, that I don't understand.
Cory Doctorow is the guy to talk to about this because he's kind of the copyright maven.
I'm sure he hates this.
And he says that when a book goes public domain, it's public domain.
Right.
It's not
like.
It
doesn't revert into. And that's, I think, what the DOJ was saying. You can't, it's public domain. It's not yours now because you scanned it.
But you're providing a service by making it accessible.
The scan.
Yeah, but that's it. But the book, the content is still public domain. So if you take the public domain scan that Google did and essentially reproduce it as a book that you sell for $1.95.
Which, by the way, the Barnes & Noble Reader, for instance, might be one of the markets for that. They have a deal with
99
Google.
Cents. Google can't make a claim on that.
No.
But they claim that they can.
Well, but that I think this revised settlement does try to address that by saying, all right, we're going to create a rights group that will look for these people, that will protect their rights. I mean, I'd have to look at the settlement to see how much. Anyway, a judge will be looking at this in January.
And by the way, as a derivative work, somebody's mentioning this, it's a derivative work of a public domain book. There's no such thing.
Right.
Can I sidebar us on something else?
Can you, in just a second, because I have one more ad to do. I just want to tell everybody.
Really, it's just all ads nowadays.
Well, you know what? I screwed up. I did an extra ad.
That's all right. We can handle it.
No, it's okay. Go. I was just knocking.
I've got good stuff coming up.
It's only four. I mean, how many ads? If this were a regular TV radio show.
Well, then it would be 2 minutes of content and 1 minute of advertising.
Right. So
what it is. So that's the number.
Yeah. So we're a little bit better than that.
Yeah, you're 3 minutes of content and a minute of ads.
3-1. I want to just, can I just mention Carbonite? Look, folks, I'm going to make this simple. Go to carbonite.com. You can try it for free. You don't need a credit card. Use the coupon code TWIT. This is off-site backup. You got to have off-site backup. If you're backing up to a local hard drive, if there's a tornado, fire, flood, if an asteroid or a comet hits the world, you're dead. Your data is going to be lost with the house, with the original. You got to back up to the internet where it's safe. Carbonite encrypts it, sends it up via SSL, so your privacy is protected. And anytime you want that back, you can log into Carbonite.com, get any individual file. A great way to upgrade to Windows 7. Just have Carbonite back up all your data, move the account to your new computer, restore it, you're good to go. Carbonite is backup done right, and you could try it absolutely free by going to Carbonite.com and using the offer code TWIT. If you do the free trial, I know it's a little confusing, you have to do the free trial, but if you do the free trial and then decide to buy, you'll get 2 months off. Less than $5 a month anyway. I mean, this thing is a great deal for unlimited backup. Anything that's on your computer, you can back up. Carbonite.com. Use the offer code TWIT. Protect your irreplaceable files with Carbonite right now. All right, sidebar. Are you done chewing?
Are you a user of Carbonite?
Yes. You know, when I started using it, this is actually one of the reasons I got into Carbonite. I lost 10 GizWiz episodes. And then we interviewed a guy named Brian Aker, who is a MySQL guy on Floss. I lost the interview. I accidentally erased it. Actually, Microsoft erased it because it's a Windows Media error. And then we did the interview again, and it got erased again.
Oh, that hurts.
I had to send the guy out.
The guy must think that you just hate him.
Exactly. I felt so bad. He's such a nice guy. I sent him a coffee gift basket.
For $3, said, though, right?
$3 coffee basket! I sent him that, and I said, I'm so sorry. Can we do it one more time? We did it one more time. But after that, I vowed, I've got to have a backup strategy. And so, yeah, we back up locally, but we also now back up online. And it's gigabytes. But as long as it's on that hard drive, it's gigabytes. It doesn't matter. And Carbonite's always backing up the podcast. That's why I haven't lost a podcast since. Thank you, Carbonite. So thank you for asking that, John, because it's a true story.
I think this is cool, and I want to see if you guys think it's cool. Massanimation.com. Guy used to
is
be.
Is it illustrations of Massachusetts life?
It is not, shockingly. So they create this Facebook app. And they solicit animators across the planet to do a crowdsourced animation project.
Oh, I love this crowdsourced stuff. I love it.
They give them a free download of Maya, which is a pretty nice tool for animating. You submit your 3 seconds, 4 seconds. They've got a sort of a wireframe.
What's the name of the website?
Massanimation.com. They've got a wireframe. And they give you sort of a palette and tell you, okay, now you make these characters move in a way that you think is cool.
That's neat.
Animators go out and do it. They submit. And then the community on Facebook votes as to which are the best versions of that 3 second portion of the short. Then they consolidate all of them and create the first crowdsourced animation project. It's airing in theaters. I think it starts this weekend.
It's going to be on theaters?
It's the front end of Planet 51, Sony's new animation project.
Oh, I got to see this.
Who gets all the money?
Well, it's done with, I think, the guy...
They got 56,000 people involved.
I mean, it's a pretty cool community, and there were animators from...
Anybody in our chat room doing this?
Animation's a pretty cool kind of a subgroup of people. Participants in 101 countries, 51 finalists from 17 different countries. And I think it's really cool because how's a kid from Brazil or Kazakhstan who can't come live in the U.S., he gets a free download of Maya, whether he wins or not.
Okay, so who was it founded by?
The guy who started, who was with Sony.
Yeah, Sony, former Sony Pictures vice chairman.
Oh, but get this. So he was in on the deal with Paul Allen when Paul Allen was thinking about selling Tech TV to Sony.
Really? Oh, he was what, Yair Landau?
Yair.
Oh, my
goodness.
So
he tells me that I went down there and I shot this story for GMA about this. Paul Allen flies down to L.A., meets with Sony honchos, and they just have this meeting in the hangar, you know, General Aviation, where Paul Allen has flown his plane down.
He doesn't want to leave the hangar.
Right? And Sony's really interested, but they just can't quite pull the trigger, you know, sort of. That American head of a Japanese company, is this a good risk? Risk tolerance issues, Tech TV. and they let it die on the vine.
No, well, this is the best thing that ever happened to you, Leo.
It is. Thank you. By the way, yeah, our best you. Wishes for whatever you feel about Paul Allen. I have to admit, I was never a Paul Allen fan, but I understand he's really once sick. Again diagnosed with cancer and is not doing well.
Yeah.
So our best wishes to Paul Allen. Because after all, he's one of the guys who started Microsoft and a very important person in this industry. He's not been having a good year. Charter goes bankrupt. He filed bankruptcy with a company that bought Moxie. And, of course, Leo hates him. So between all of that, I'm not surprised he's got cancer. You know, I blame myself.
That's terrible.
Because I was the guy who kept saying, I hope you get cancer, Paul Allen.
You never did that.
No, this is bogus.
I love
was
when
never,
you pretend
you're
to be
like the jerk. Nicest guy in the world, no. And now you're just trying to be mean.
I feel
mean
bad.
Because of the two of us in here who are actually somewhat mean.
Paul but Allen we won't paid say for my, Paul Allen paid for my master's degree.
He did. Stanford.
Yep.
You got a Stanford doctorate for education, and that
masters.
Was masters. Well, I can make you a doctor,
take it,
but doctor
whatever.
Woman.
Leo wrote one of my recommendation letters, so I owe him for life.
Yeah, that and $3.50 will get you a cup of Starbucks coffee.
That's right. Or a coffee mug.
Or a coffee. You can get the whole coffee box.
$3. Alan, as you may remember, dropped out of Microsoft because he was diagnosed with Hodgkin's, remitted. Now he's been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. That's a lot more serious, and I don't know what the prognosis is. According to a letter written by his sister to Vulcan employees, Paul's feeling okay, remains upbeat, continues to work, has no plans to change his role at Vulcan. His health comes first, though. We're sure that nothing intrudes on top of that. So our best wishes to Paul Allen. I feel like I met the guy several times, hung out with him. I didn't get to go to the yacht. But
the one of three yachts.
There's three?
I told you my yacht story, right, that my mom told me.
You went to Paul Allen's yacht?
No, he docked when, I think it was Bill Gates' wedding. There was a bunch of Richie Riches that brought their yachts to the harbor on Lanai where Bill Gates got married. And all the yachts were lined up. And apparently someone else's yacht was a foot and a half longer than Paul Allen's.
Yeah.
He put it into dry dock and added 3 feet.
All these guys are like that. The guy who founded Netscape, Jim Clark.
Clark, yeah.
Famous for the same thing. But in that case, it was height. He wanted the tallest yacht you could get that would still be able to fit under the Golden Gate Bridge. And so he has 3 inches clearance. Anyway, I didn't mean to be facetious about Paul's health. And, of course, we do wish him absolutely the best.
I think it was Chuck Hirschhorn that was the real douchebag when it came to the tech TV.
He got his, though. I'm glad to say.
What happened with him?
I don't know anything about this guy.
He was
He's a guy who founded G4 and... was, I think, kind of responsible for Comcast buying Tech TV. I think it was kind of on his Christmas list. And did the merger, got rid of Tech TV effectively, and ran G4 into the ground. And then shortly thereafter was fired. And I do believe that he's gone on to worse things in his life. I should find out. He called me once.
Like
boy, you guys are just infected with some sort of negativism.
When they were having a tough... he's the chief creative officer at Retirement Living TV.
No way.
So I think that's kind of
so
fitting.
That's so great.
Hey, Chuck, I hear you're retired. You want to come work for me? Just kidding. He called me once. He called me once and he said, come on down. We'd love to talk to you. Didn't offer airfare, nothing. And then I found out that negotiations with Kevin Rose were on the rocks. He was trying to get Kevin to stick around in the screensavers. And I realized this is all a negotiation play. He didn't even offer to fly me down. So, but I decided not to work for Retirement Living TV, Charles.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
Two things.
One, this is getting mean. I'm sorry.
I know. One thing is,
I'm against it.
I'm against it.
My motto is if you have nothing good to say, don't say anything at all.
You are so full of it, John.
That's true. No, really. You start really deconstruct what I have to say, and it's all positive and upbeat.
You know what's funny is...
You have to deconstruct pretty deep to get there.
If you think about a lot of the tech discussions that happen on the web, it does kind of sound like a bunch of bitchy little girls.
It is.
Girls
it's high school. It's all fueled by jealousy.
Well, it's the broadcast media, business.
I think it's Silicon Valley. I don't think it's us. Like, if you think about the CNET, tech TVers, I think we're very collegial. I think it's actually down in the valley when you get into that Sand Hill crowd. They're the ones that scare me.
I would like to beat Revision 3 into the ground. But other than that.
But you like them. You're just lying.
I do.
I love them. Chowderhead and Kevin.
They were just up here, actually.
They're great.
Who's Chowderhead?
Jim Louderback. We call him Chowderhead. Last story. Cell phones don't ring everyone's bell. There are, for some reason in this world, 29% of Americans who say, I will never get a cell phone.
29%?
According to the U.S. Census. Really?
Yeah. Why should people have a cell phone? Yakking on it all the time, driving around, getting into wrecks. They have to pass laws now because people are on the cell phone endangering the public.
Wouldn't that be the positive message?
That is the positive message.
That's right.
I'm trying to say I'm for public safety.
Get rid of them.
Oh.
John C. Dvorak is at
channeldvorak.com.
.com. A great place to go to find out what John's up to, including his Tech 5, No Agenda, Cranky Geeks. And are you still doing the Tech Grouch?
PC, yeah, the Tech. Well, I don't do the Tech Grouch. He's just the guy who looks like
me. Are you still involved with that?
I help him write the material.
And, of course, PC Magazine.
PC Magazine and Market Watch, don't forget.
Market Watch. That Inside Track column still, you know, it's been...
Inside Track is going private.
30 years.
It's going private.
That has been the must-read is the John C. Dvorak, starting in the back page of InfoWorld and ever
since.
Now
it's going private. It's going to have its own website, and it's going to be...
When's that going to happen?
Well, it's shortly.
So we'll be able to, like, you know, read it directly on the...
I'm going to probably produce it once a week instead of once every couple of weeks.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Because you have more sources. You really do know what's going on. You don't tell anybody, but you know what's going on.
He's always certain, and he's sometimes right.
John C. Dvorak.
I'm actually right more often than not.
Always certain, sometimes right. Except for that thing about the mouse. You were wrong about the mouse.
I never said anything, except I said at the time, 1981 or whenever it was...
And the whole
there was no proof that people wanted to use one of these things. I stick with that.
There's still no proof.
There's no proof.
There's no evidence that anybody would ever want to use a mouse. Becky Worley is the technology editor for ABC. You'll see him on Good Morning. See her on Good Morning America absolutely all the time.
All Black Friday, all the time.
You're going to be doing some remote Black Friday stuff.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
I got deals like you wouldn't believe.
That's going to be great. That's going to be really great. Anything else you want to plug? BeckyWorley.com is your blog. Do you do stuff for that?
No.
No.
You know, I
it's languishing.
The only thing I want to plug is that Mass Animation folks. I did a story on them and we're supposed to air it this weekend and it didn't air and I feel really bad.
Well, that's
so
nice.
MassAnimation.com. It's really cool. Good concept.
Good for you.
But I have no stake in it or anything like that. I just think it's a good story and I feel beholden.
How do you feel about the mouse? You think that there's evidence people will use the computer?
They want to stroke the mouse.
They want to stroke the mouse.
I think they want to stroke the mouse.
Editing. It's all about editing. You can't
Ladies
do
and
it
gentlemen,
without mouse.
Thank you for joining us. Another twit is in the can.
Round the horn. Round the horn.